have the.
You're ready.
Yep.
Okay, I'm going to call to order this public hearing of Senate Bill 454.
I'd like to open a public hearing for the House Committee on Business and Labor for House Bill 2005.
All right, we've got a lot of people who want to testify, and but we're going to start off with two esteemed individuals, Heather Conroy, who's esteemed because we didn't have time for her this afternoon and promised her she could start off, and also Senator Thompson is here. He is esteemed for reasons I won't go into. Yeah,
he's
come on
esteemed?
Up.
And are you going to give them 2 minutes?
They can take a little more time. Heather, you want to start?
So Chair Stembro and Chair Holby, thank you very much for accommodating me this evening and having me here. I'm Heather Conroy, and I serve as the elected executive director of SEIU Local 503. We represent 55,000 women and men across the state of Oregon who provide vital services like maintaining our roads, providing hands-on in-home care to seniors and people with disabilities so they can live with autonomy and dignity, protecting our environment, serving families in need, and dozens of other publicly funded services. I'm here today to speak in favor of statewide sick leave for all workers. I speak in favor of this bill because not only is it a smart economic decision, it's also the right moral decision. This is an economic issue, but it's also an issue that's deeply rooted in our values and our humanity. This is about how we treat one another. This is about how we respect one another and really putting our money where our mouth is when we talk about family values. I can recall being a waitress in Pennsylvania when my employer was paying me $2.13 an hour, and I note it's still the minimum wage in Pennsylvania for tipped workers in far too many states across the country, and I had no access to paid leave or health care. And I can remember the pain, embarrassment, and the desperation I felt when I ended up with a nasty urinary tract infection. With no access to health care and no time off, I continued to go to work sick and in pain. I tried to remedy it with the help of an herbalist and a lot of cranberry juice, but that didn't work. And in the end, I learned through the grapevine and network of other servers that there was a pediatrician who would open his practice to folks like me who needed help and would provide free samples of antibiotics. I couldn't miss work because I needed every penny I was earning to make rent and to be able to eat. I had no access to paid time off, the way that many of us here today, including myself, now have. SEIU Local 503 is in support of this bill because too many people have experience like I just described, including many of our members. So I'd like to tell you a little bit about Annie. Annie's a home care worker from Portland, and like a large number of home care workers, she's a grandmother, she's a widow, and she's poor. She's worked for over 50 years of her life. Annie was raised in the segregated South in Mississippi and is the daughter of sharecroppers. After getting kicked out of high school at the age of 16 for being pregnant, she began working. After declaring that she was done picking cotton, she decided to get a job as a waitress at a restaurant in Vicksburg, where they were hiring young black women to dress like Aunt Jemima to host tourists who were coming to the South to see what it was like in the South. As a single mom, she fought to end Jim Crow and got involved in the civil rights movement and helped earn the right to vote. Fast forward 30 years or so later, after Annie moved to Northeast Portland and got married. When her husband became ill, she became a home care worker. She was paid close to minimum wage, had no paid time off or benefits, even her taxes weren't withheld from her paycheck. Home care workers, like too many other workers in the state, were invisible and being taken advantage of by a system that relies on their kindness and compassion. Based on her experiences in the civil rights movement, when a union organizer came knocking on her door, Annie knew exactly what to do. She knew that she could get involved and change the way things were right away. After Annie's husband passed, she continued to work as a home care worker, but she was unable to keep her home in Northeast Portland and was forced to move to an apartment in Rockwood. She relies on TriMet to get down to Old Town to care for seniors who are living in low-income apartments. Through her union, she's fought for and won access to 4 paid days off a year, but clearly that's not enough. With only 4 paid days off per year, when Annie got the news last year that her daughter in Mississippi was diagnosed with breast cancer, she had to rely on the generosity of friends and family to be able to be where she belonged in that moment, at her daughter's side. Without access to adequate paid time off, Annie faced choosing between risking her job, not being able to make her rent, and doing what mothers are supposed to do, support their children when faced with crisis. We're better than that. Oregon is better than that. We believe in human dignity. We believe in the value of work. We believe in families. And that's why SEIU 503 urges you to pass sick leave for all Oregonians. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Heather. Senator Thompson.
Thank you, Co-Chair. As a member of the committee, you're looking pretty good for 6 o'clock. I hope you look this great by 8 o'clock tonight. Anyway, Chuck Thompson, Senate District 26. I'm here to talk about paid sick leave. What I've done, I've got a couple of emails. I know there's a lot of people waiting. And instead of me telling you about impacts to this bill, to farm in the agricultural committee, I thought I'd take some excerpts from a few people back in Hood River that are pear orchards too. That way, you just don't think I'm making this stuff up. Right, Brent?
Okay. You would never.
No. Adam McCarthy, son of Mike McCarthy, and I hope I wasn't going to duplicate testimony, had some specific concerns with the overall lack of acknowledgement of agriculture. There is not a distinction in this bill for seasonal versus full-time employees or any ag exemptions under Section 12. Another little thing you wanted to add in here, employees who return within 180 days get to pick up where they left off. If there were to be a seasonal worker exemption that worked in the tree fruit industry, this needs to be more like 90 days. And my operation, we have a fairly good sized operation. We have about 5 full-time employees. And then we have up to 60 or 65 seasonal employees. And they'll work for like 20 days in January and a little bit of February pruning. Then they'll go prune for somebody else around the valley or maybe go to the Dalles. And then they'll come back and work for about 3 weeks thinning the pears. And then they go back, maybe they go to California, pick cherries. Maybe they go to the Dalles and pick cherries. And they come back in middle of August, pick for a week, and then go somewhere else and pick. A lot of the guys and gals that work for me have worked for Mr. McCarthy before. They come back and harvest our pears for about 3 weeks in September. So I don't know how this is going to be set up, but I believe the easiest way is, I'm not arguing like necessarily for some full-time folks, but the seasonal thing is going to be impossible to enforce. You could have somebody that's picking for me, and he calls in sick, and he drives across the valley, or how am I going to know if he's really sick, and then he can work in there. And so there's a lot of things I think this committee needs to work out on seasonal workers. Heather Blaine from another orchardist family in Hood River on my farm. You have fewer choices for replacements when employees absent. The issue is emphasized even more during the critical time of harvest. She needs certainty of having workers available so the crop can be picked at optimal time, because the crops don't have a very long shelf life on a tree, and these kind of issues could get in the way. I know you guys have all heard this before, but it really is true in agriculture. We have no control on our prices. So if this is too big of an added cost, we can't go to Walmart and say, can you raise the price of our pears by 3 cents because we've got this new mandatory sick leave? No, it doesn't work that way. It's all on supply and demand. We're on a world market, and that's how most agriculture operates. And then from Tom Rousseau, these bills will automatically increase our labor basis by about 3%. Those are his figures. It also adds substantially to bookkeeping ability. Farmers like me, I'm the bookkeeper too, I'd be responsible for doing all this. And we don't have human resource departments in most farms and ranches. I don't know. There might be a couple out there, but not too many that I know. But anyway, I know you have a lot of things to think about, and a lot of people want to speak. But just I don't know that I'm asking for an all-out agriculture exemption. But if you don't deal with seasonal workers, this would be a mess. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, both of you.
Thank you.
Representative Witt is here. You want to say couple of minutes of words. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Brad Witt, House District 31, appearing here this evening in support of House Bill 2005. I appreciate the opportunity, Mr. Chairman, to say a couple of brief comments. I know you have a very full witness list. You've heard, and I'm sure you're going to continue to hear, a host of good reasons why this bill should pass. I want to focus on one that is particularly important to myself and to the people that I represent as a union representative during my day job, the folks in the grocery industry. This bill is of primary importance in terms of a public health issue, and I can really think of very few things that would be as important to the general public's health as this bill. Imagine, if you will, the employee who shows up to work with palpable symptoms of the flu or a very hard cold, sneezing, runny nose, temperature. They just look sick. This is something I would suggest to each of you. We as individuals would be reluctant to walk up to that person and shake that person's hand. But yet we see continually throughout this industry folks who by economic necessity have no choice but to show up to work because they need a paycheck and would not be going to work otherwise. Folks, I can't impress upon you enough. There are none of us here that would ever want to show up to work with a bad case of the flu. We're sick, genuinely sick. And the folks in the grocery industry have to work in a sick condition on a routine basis. And I ask this committee for your consideration to help ameliorate that very, very trying condition. And with that, Mr. Chairman, I thank you for the opportunity. I would make myself available for brief questioning, and I know you don't have a lot of time, but thank you.
We're actually not going to take questions, Representative, but we know where to find you.
All right. Thank you so very much. I appreciate it.
So, thank you.
Representative Kenny Geyer, did you also want to testify? No. Representative Hack?
No.
No? Okay. Great. Now that we have our niceties away.
Yes. So now we're, it's great to have you all here. Thank you all for coming. I hear it was a beautiful day, and I hear it's a beautiful evening. But here you are with us, and this is a very important issue, and we're really eager to get in the testimony of as many people as possible. We're going to limit testimony to 2 minutes. And I know that's going to be really tough, but we really need to do that because we've got so many people who want to testify. We're going to be using this timer system, and it will beep when your time is up. So please don't think us rude. This is just what we need to do. If you have written testimony that you want to submit, please give it to... All right. Matt is mobile. He's now over there. Give it to him. Or if you want to submit it electronically, you can do so until the end of this week, right, until 5 o'clock on Friday. We're keeping the record open. So if there's anything that you hear today that you feel like you want to comment on, you can still do that. It will be included on the public record. I know I'll be reading for both committees, the House Business and Labor and the Senate Workforce, and we can read them then as we move forward. Yes. Did you want to say anything more?
No, that pretty much covers it. You want to start with, I'll read the support, you can read the opposition, or how do you want to do that?
Yeah, you be support, I'll be opposition.
I'd like to call up Andrea Peluso and Jeff Anderson and Valen Kimbrough. I'm not sure if I said that correctly.
Thank you.
And if we could also have on deck Michael McCarthy, John Iverson and John Lance, please. Andrea, you want to start?
Sure. Thank you, Chair Dembro and Chair Holvey and members of the committee. My name is Andrea Peluso. I'm the Executive Director of Family Forward Oregon, the Chair of the Everybody Benefits Coalition, which you all have a handout about now, and the co-chair of the Fair Shot for All Coalition. Right now, our country is facing historic income and wealth inequality. Wages at the bottom of the scale have been stagnant or only grown modestly in the last three decades, while wages at the top have grown significantly. This has produced significant gaps between the very rich and very poor in this country. We're seeing job growth since the recession concentrated in low-wage occupation and much less growth in others. And without careful intervention, this problem will only continue to get worse. A system built on this kind of inequality is not sustainable. It's not healthy. It's not economically or socially responsible. By creating a statewide paid sick time floor, we are establishing a reasonable community standard whose time has come. One which says it is not acceptable that 82% of higher wage workers earn paid sick time while only 29% of low wage workers do. One that acknowledges that those least able to afford unpaid time off also have the least access to healthcare services and the worst health outcomes. One that acknowledges that having the basic dignity that comes with being able to care for yourself when you're sick and also maintain the income your family depends on is not a benefit, it is a right. It's a floor, and it's long overdue. If you want a preview of the arguments you may hear tonight, we only need to look back at our history. We can look back at the Factory Investigating Committee of New York after the tragic Triangle Waste Company fire in 1911. 146 workers, mostly teenage girls, perished after a fire broke out on the 8th and 9th floors. Many were locked in with no way to escape. The recommended and enacted laws that resulted required factories install sprinklers, keep factory doors unlocked, install fire escapes, give employees access to toilets and clean drinking water, reduce the workload for women to no more than 54 hours a week, and ban children under 18 from work that could injure their health and well-being. Those laws established health and safety standards to protect workers and became standards across the country and were met with similar opposition from certain members of the business community today. I'll close by saying the argument against needed labor and workplace standards have always been the same. Costs will rise, business benefits will be cut, benefits will flee the state, the government is overreaching, it harms small business, it's not the right time, too much bureaucracy, no one size fits all. And yet the market businesses continue to flourish and the market continues to adapt in remarkably efficient ways.
Thank you. Jeff?
Chair, members of the committee, my name is Jeff Anderson. I'm Secretary Treasurer at United Food and Commercial Workers, Local 555. We're the largest private sector union in the state of Oregon with 20,000 members. And in the interest of duplicity, since I testified earlier, I'm interested in having the members hear from one of our members. There's a number of our folks in the audience wearing gold throughout the different rooms, I should say. But I think it would be very behoove people to hear firsthand somebody's experience and why this is a necessary policy. And so Val Crimbo is here to further that.
Thank you, Jeff.
Chair Dembro, Chair Hovey, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Valen Crimbo. I live and work in Springfield. I have worked for Albertsons for 30 years. In Springfield, workers do not have first day earned sick pay. Across town in Eugene, fellow workers will soon have first day earned sick pay thanks to the ordinance passed by the Eugene City Council. In my job, in order to take a single day paid sick leave, I must be out 3 days. In other words, I have to lose 40% of my week's pay to claim a day. Coworkers come to work sick. It is even worse for coworkers with kids who get sick. They are forced to choose between work and caring for their child. It would be great to have first day earned sick pay in Springfield. My hope is that the state legislature will pass a bill that will bring first day earned sick pay to every city in the great state of Oregon. Please join fellow workers in support of first day earned sick pay for the whole state. Thank you for listening.
Thank you very much. Thank you, all three of you.
Yes, thanks.
Okay, so next we have Michael McCarthy, John Iverson, and John Lance, please.
And on deck, we have Michelle Carver, Jim Hauser, Tim Gauthier, and John Mullis.
Thank you, Sheriff.
new one.
Chairman Holvey, Chairman Dembro, committee. My name is John Lenz, Jasper's Cafe, Medford, Oregon. I'm with the Orla Board of Directors with Bill Perry for the past 3 years, and I'm also a board member with the Long Hollow Guest Ranch in Sisters, Oregon. This is not a one-size-fits-all bill based on the proponent's own survey data. Number one, historical data of the San Francisco, Seattle, and Connecticut paid sick time shows between 65% to 90% already voluntarily offer paid sick time because it fits their business model. The reason small hospitality operators like myself are most affected is because there is no pricing absorption. It all means instant negative consequences to currently secure employees. Number two, the working versus sick argument throws the Oregon Health Authority and every health department under the wagon wheels, implying that all employers ignore food handler certification policy and that the OHA is inept in enforcing this food service and safety rule. Employees don't show up sick, and we send them down the trail home if they do. It's the law. And to support my point, the Seattle Paid Sick Time University of Washington City Survey, City Auditor Survey reported in 2013 that across all industries, 80% of sick employees stay home. Number three, single moms and dads with sick kids. Paid sick time costs the employer the benefit plus the replacement labor. Doesn't anyone realize that in order to give that single mom her paid sick time, another single mom or dad will lose their job to make room for this policy? Now, if you all want equality, there it is. I cherish my crew of 16. We are working toward this at the pace our customers provide, and periodically we reward someone when afforded. Would you force a 9-year-old to drive when they're not ready? You know, benefits mature with a business's success. It shouldn't be an iron-fisted formula. My employees are freaking out over these wage issues. They want to be left alone. They respect the virtues of self-worth and self-achievement versus forced entitlement. Thank you, committee.
Great timing. Thank you.
I'm Mike McCarthy. I'm a farmer in Parkdale, Oregon. I raise apples, pears, and cherries. We sell our crop throughout the United States and in 40 countries. The current status of the perishable crop workforce is very poor. There's just not enough workers to get our crops picked. For the last several years, we have not had enough workers to harvest our crops in a timely manner, particularly apples and pears. We have lost thousands of dollars of fruit on the ground because we have not been able to get it picked in time. Some of our fruit has been picked in an over-mature state, which means it can't be stored as long and it doesn't have as many marketing options. Over-mature fruit has more bruising and damage at harvest. This fruit has to be discarded. This results in huge losses. This is all due to not having enough workers. The impact of the mandatory paid family leave on our farm would be that it puts us at a competitive disadvantage. And I think in the end, this will hasten the decline of the family farm, favoring the large corporate farms that are vertically integrated and are more able to absorb these costs. Chuck Thompson mentioned earlier, but Walmart, and there's actually the Big Five, there's five retail chains in the United States that buy 50% of the produce in the United States. That's five retailers buy 50% of the produce in the United States, and they do not care what our costs are. We have no ability to pass our costs on to them. We only have to be cheaper than, or we have to be cheaper than somebody else. Other states' minimum wages are lower, and they do not have mandatory sick leave. This puts us at a competitive disadvantage. Other countries have lower production costs. We're at a competitive disadvantage. We have about a 5-day window to pick our crops. If a number of our workers decide that they want to take their paid leave at that time, we have a real problem.
You could just wrap up, Mr. McCarthy.
Yeah, the big fear I have, the biggest fear is that there'll be unused sick leave towards the end of the season, and that's when our harvest period is. It's at the end of our year. And if people take their sick leave during that time, it's going to be incredibly difficult for us to get our crops picked. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Yes.
Thanks for all for staying late tonight. I know you'd rather be doing other things, but John Iverson. Third-generation family farmer. We farm outside of Woodburn, Oregon, just inside the border of Clackamas County. Grow vegetable crops, flowers, grass seed, wheat. we have about 9 full-time employees. I farm with my dad and my uncle and my aunt, 9 full-time employees. Most of them have been with us for 20 years plus. They're like family. I grew up on the farm with them. My concern is right now, most of those employees do. If they're sick, they call in, hey, not a problem, we'll cover it. You know, they go home, not an issue. We're already paying sick leave, but it's not on the books or anything. There's no, we don't have a set policy for it. But they're our family. We treat them like family. And if they have an emergency, we cover for them. What I'm worried is I lose that goodwill once it's required. Once it's required, they know I have to give it to them. It's not that I'm doing something and I feel good, they feel good. It's, you need to give this to me. And then what I'm worried about is kind of like what Mike says. It comes to the end of the year, I've got this accrued. I either use it or I lose it. And so, you know, at the end of the day, end of the year, I'm going to use my sick leave so I get it cashed out. You know, that's my biggest concern with this. Other than that, like I said, our employees are family. We want to take care of them. If we don't take care of them, they go somewhere else. And that's my biggest concern. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, all three of you.
So up next, we have Michelle Carver, Jim Hauser, Tim Gauthier, and John Mullis.
And then on deck, we have Mike Nesbitt, Brenda Fikicich, and Dennis Morgan, please.
And if you just introduce yourself to the record before you start, thank you.
Hello, my name is Michelle Carver, and I'm the Vice President of Sales and Marketing for a local Portland company called G Diapers. As I mentioned, I'm a full-time employee. I manage sales and marketing globally for a local company, but more importantly, I'm a single mom with 2 elementary school-aged children, one of whom has type 1 diabetes, which, as if you know, with that kind of autoimmune disease, there's many times when my child is forced to miss school. I've been employed by G Diapers since the very beginning, almost 10 years. Our success has been solely due to the people we have working for us, the brains, the personality, and the passion behind the brand, the product, what we call the magic of G. The majority of our employees are parents. We are a family-centered company and have been since conception. We know that employees and their children get sick, but at G Diapers, we're set up for that. If you're sick, please stay home. If your child's sick, please stay home. Those days are paid days, and they certainly don't count against paid vacation, of which we also offer 4 weeks from the date of hire. Because life happens and our families come first, business always comes second. This practice has never hurt our bottom line, has never impacted our profitability. In fact, it's only proven to grow our top line through our strong retention rate, our employee morale and productivity, which in turn positively impacts our customers' view of our business practices, hence feeding the passion behind our brand. It's a win-win situation all around. At G Diapers, we're proud to be a sustainable company from the inside out, starting with our people. We'd like to challenge you to ensure that every company supports their people in the same way. Paid sick days keep families first, but they also keep families financially secure, workplaces and communities healthy and productive, and businesses and the economy strong. Imagine what our state and our communities would look like if you passed Senate Bill 454 and House Bill 2005. Thanks for your time.
Thank you. Mr. Hauser.
Chair Dembro, Chair Hovey, members of the committee. My name is Jim Hauser, and my wife and I own and operate Hawthorne Auto Clinic in Southeast Portland. I'm also co-chair of the Main Street Alliance of Oregon, and I support Senate Bill 454 and House Bill 2005. Let me tell you about Small Businesses Stake and Paid Sick Time campaign. Hawthorne Auto Clinic is celebrating its 32nd anniversary this month, so I think I have learned a thing or two about small business success. Our principal business asset next to our customers is our employees. I believe, and experience has borne me out, that if you take care of your employees, they will take care of you. We provide good benefits, including paid sick days, now called personal days, and have for all of our 32 years. The average tenure of our 9 full-time employees is 17 years. This kind of employee loyalty is critical to the success of any small business. Most small business people understand this basic business reality. The biggest hurdle small business owners face is being able to provide decent wages and benefits in competition with national chains like McDonald's and Walmart's, who are notorious for driving down the cost of labor, suppressing wages and benefits, or requiring workers to show up sick, as we've heard earlier here today. As much as we would like to be, small business owners are often trapped by the power of multinationals. Reasonable employment standards like paid sick time level the business playing field by requiring all employers to play by the same rules, enabling small business owners to do what they know needs to be done, like providing paid sick time for employees and for their enterprises to thrive. For all our 32 years, we have offered paid sick days. Because I realize there is some anxiety among business owners over this proposal, I inventoried our employees' personal day usage over the past year. The average usage was 2.7 days. The cost to our company was less than 1% of payroll. Like I said, I believe we take care of our employees, they will take care of us, and our basic business will grow and prosper. The end of the day, paid sick days is really employment standard like workers' compensation, minimum wage, and child labor rules.
Thank you, Mr. Hauser.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Chairman, committee members, my name is Tim Gothier. I'm with the National Electrical Contractors Association. I'm here to talk about the unique aspects of multi-employer, multiple employee agreements under collective bargaining agreements. These benefits are earned through industry-wide trust funds paid by their employers, but not administered by their employers. They are under the Taft-Hartley laws with 50% union trustees, 50% management trustees. This allows the employees, as they travel through the industry and through multiple employers, to earn their benefits and create their benefits as they continue to work. Our situation is very complex. We have over 300 employers in Oregon with 6,500 employees under six different local unions working under 20 different labor agreements. The construction industry is very different from corporate America. Our workforce does not show up at one location, not even a central office or one job site. They work on multiple job sites every hour, every day, every year. They also work through the different hiring halls that provide for a lot of different people coming in. We had a tremendous amount of work this past year where we had 900 electricians travel in from 25 different states. Under our agreements, all of their benefits are required to follow them back home so that they have their benefits for their families where they reside. This makes it very complex. That's why the CBA exemption is something that we're requesting, that we take care of our employees, that we get very generous benefits, and it's something that we are very proud of. Our oldest pension plan is 70 years old, our health and welfare plan is 60 years old, and we provide for funds for also for flexible spending accounts that allow for over 10 paid days of leave through these different agreements. So we request that you pass the bill as written, and that we would request also that there be a preemption so we deal with one law and not multiple.
Perfect. Thank you. Mr. Molis.
Good evening, Chair Dembro, Chair Holvey, members of the committee. John Molis, and I represent the Oregon State Building Trades Council. And we support this concept for workers that need this legislation. As Tim just stated, we have a very unique industry. Our members don't go to work at the same factory or deli or restaurant every day. They go to work on multiple job sites for multiple different employers. And as he just detailed, all their benefits accrue from the employer through the trust fund to the individual worker. And I'm not going to reiterate some of the remarks that he made. I guess I would just close out with a real life example of why it's so important for us and under our unique system for the benefits to accrue directly back to the members. There's a good sized bridge project that's being done in Portland right now across the Willamette River. It's being done by a joint venture that's set up specifically for that project. And that's not unusual, it's not nefarious. Normally in a situation like that for a large complex project, you have a contractor that's adept in the EPC or the engineering procurement, and then another contractor that's adept in the construction side, and they join forces for that project. They're employing a lot of our members. After that project is done, that joint venture will go away. So there's no benefit to our members to have those benefits stay with a contractor that they'll never work for again. And you know, the Rose Garden, now Moda Center, it was built under a similar arrangement, a joint venture that was set up for that project. Again, it's not unusual. It's just an example of why we feel it's important for the union construction industry to have the benefits stay within the flow system that we have now so that our members get the true value of the benefits that we have negotiated with our employers. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you, panel. Okay, so we have Mike Nesbitt, Brenda Piketich, and Dennis Morgan. Thank you very much.
And on deck, we have Lon Ho, Penny Wicklander, Yar Wendia, and Salvador Trejo.
Chair Dembrough, Chair Holvey, committee members, thank you for allowing me to speak. My name is Mike Nesbitt, and I represent Papa's Pizza, 2706 Wilkinson Road, Eugene. I started my career as a dough roller at Papa's back in 1974, and I pretty much learned the business from the bottom up. I'm here tonight in opposition to House Bill 2005 and 454 as they are written. I find this bill to be overly broad with extremely negative impacts for businesses and employees. These bills attempt to provide an unnecessary benefit to part-time employees while incentivizing businesses to reduce hours, reduce employees, and reduce current benefits. What I would propose and what I would hope you would at least consider is looking at putting a cap or a floor on sick leave so that those who really need it, those who are working full-time, which for us is 30 hours or more, will be getting sick time. And this is something that we could support. I think most businesses could support. The problem I run into is when we're talking about part-time workers, and the part-time workers that we have, and we employ 409 employees at Papa's Pizza. Of those, 19 work over 30 hours. So we're basically put in a position of having to implement a program for a lot of high school, college, employees who are bringing in money for just to supplement household income. It's not what sick leave is supposed to do. I would hope that you would at least consider looking at that. I would hope that you would look at considering a four-hour minimum for the time that they could take off, because I really can't cover a person for 1 hour. I mean, we have people there for a reason. They're there to take care of the pizza parlor, to take care of our customers, and trying to get them off for one single hour, it's almost impossible to find people. So thank you for taking the time to listen to me.
Thank you very much, sir.
Chairman Dembrough, Chairman Holvey, members of the committee, thank you for allowing me to speak on a state holiday and that you're here to listen to this, and on such a beautiful state holiday, too. My name's Dennis Morgan. I'm the Senior Vice President of Research for Analytical Laboratories in Eugene, Oregon. We test public water supplies, stormwaters, a number of things. I have 22 employees, 21 full-time employees, one part-time employee, and I provide paid time off for them all, plus a pretty large set of benefits. The idea here is great. I think the implementation, or I would urge you to make some amendments to Senate Bill 454 or the corresponding House bill. For one thing, I think we need a statewide preemption. There needs to be one set of level rules for employments across state. We can't have some cities upping the offer over others. We can't have cities who have increased the offer giving options to people coming in like they do with tax relief and things like that. So I'd urge you to have a statewide preemption. I'd also urge you to make that statewide preemption for a large benefit package, not just sick leave or paid time off, but many things that we offer in terms of the benefits. So we have to come to you, or the state sets those benefits for everybody. Two, I'd ask you to change the definition of employers to match the Oregon Family Medical Leave Act. That will take care of a number of the issues that some of the people brought up. Essentially, that creates 25 or more. I know that's a subject, but most of the problems that I've heard about and seen and written about for the disruption or the problems with the sick leave is with larger employers. I mean, I'm a small employer. As somebody said, we take care of these folks. I would also urge you to change the definition of employer to the Oregon Family Medical Leave Act, which covers 25 hours a week and 180 days of work. And that takes care of the part-time issues that people brought up, the migrant laborers. Takes care of the issue of substitute school teachers. You know, if you have a school teacher comes in and then the substitute has the time and they call in sick, a school district has to pay for two people instead of just one. It covers summer workers and transient folks, you know, by having that 180 days of employment. So there are a lot of issues that I would take care of, and I thank you for the input.
Thank you very much, Mr. Morgan.
Chairman Hull, Chairman Demereaux, members of the committee. My name is Brenda Furkatich, and I farm out in St. Paul, Oregon. I manage a 1,000-acre farm. I'm the third generation to manage that farm. We raise hazelnuts, perennial ryegrass, tall fescue, vegetable seeds, also wheat and clover. Right now, we have 4 full-time year-round employees, and we also hire anywhere from 5 to 10 seasonal employees throughout the year. That number changes by what we're doing with harvest and pruning and that sort of thing. My sentiments would be the same as a lot of the farmers that you've already heard from tonight, that this, in a seasonal sense, for the agricultural industry, is going to be a huge nightmare. For me, I said I manage the farm. My dad retired, so I'm the HR department. I'm the contractor, I'm the person who walks the fields, I'm the person that manages all the employees, and for me to have one more thing on our plate to keep track of is going to be a huge mess for us. Because of that, keeping track of how many workers are working for us at any certain time, if they're coming back in certain times of the year, and things of that nature. I will say that for the 4 employees that are year-round, we have a very good benefits package. We give them a house to live in. We pay they don't have to pay rent. We pay their PGE bill. We give them a pickup. We give them fuel. We're very flexible with our time to try to work with them because they are like family. One of our employees has been with us for 25 years, the other one for 15 years. I think retention is huge, and I think that being able to be proactive and use good practices is important, and we really value that as a family farm. I would also want to mention that if seasonal workers are sick, we do have jobs on the farm, if they have a cold or something where they're not handling food, because that is the law. And we also use good agricultural practices on our farm in order to keep people safe and keep them healthy. So I would just urge you to understand that as business people for the agricultural industry, we are doing what we can, and this would be something that would be really hard for us to implement, and we would hope that maybe you would take an exemption for us. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Furkatich. Well timed.
Okay, thank you, panel.
Up next, Lon Ho, Penny Wicklander, Yar Buendia, Salvador Trio.
And on deck, and this is going to be hard, Mark Herbert, Brittany Quick Something, Roger Cox, and Alex Weiler. Thank you.
If you'll go ahead and introduce yourself for the record, please.
First, my name is Penny Wicklander. Good evening to all of you, and thank you for being here on this holiday. I'm a home care provider from Pendleton. I've traveled over 500 miles to speak to you tonight, as I feel this is very important. I have worked for seniors, many in fragile health conditions, and the thought of me passing on a cold or flu, or God forbid something worse, to them would be of great concern. I know some cities around the country are passing sick leave into law, and that's great, but living in rural Oregon, I see the need for state law granting sick leave to all working Oregonians. Sick leave would be a win-win situation, just allowing an employee to stay home and take care of their health needs when they are ill, but also to protect others. As we are seeing a rise in contagious diseases, the importance of sick leave to keep the community safe, I believe, is very vital. I know firsthand the ravages of a contagious disease. My mother was sent to a tuberculosis hospital when I was 6. My brother was 4, and she was confined there for 9 months. And for that 9 months, I was only able to stand outside and look at her for a few minutes through the window. After that, she was released to come home, but was quarantined to the house for a year. Now, with antibiotic-resistant tuberculosis and many other virulent diseases emerging, it is more important than ever to protect all Oregonian communities. Sick leave is a tool, and we need to provide it for all working Oregonians. As a part-time home care provider, I have no sick leave or paid time off. Thank you very much.
Dear committee members, my name is Lon Ho. I'm with APANO, Asian Pacific American Network of Oregon. I have lived in Oregon for 4 years, and I am currently studying political science at Portland Community College. Being an international student who used to struggle a lot with speaking English, I'm very aware of the way how language barriers play such an important role in healthcare and employment disparities, and I have sympathy for those people who don't speak English as their first language, and yet they are working very hard to thrive in this country. Although I didn't grow up in the States, and for some people, I am like an outsider. I'm very passionate to learn about social justice movements here. In fact, I have been very actively involved with many diverse groups focused on immigrant issues, gender equity, and higher education. One of the things I'm currently passionate about is to have workers in Oregon getting paid sick time. I am here today speaking to you as a woman who cares deeply about justice and stands up for the rights of workers. Though it doesn't affect me personally, it affects my friends, men and women, my coworkers and my mentors. The more I listen to people's stories, the more I understand that people don't struggle by choice. I have learned that policies can make a real difference in helping people in need get back on their feet. I remember a story from a woman who has some difficulties in taking off work from her job at a restaurant when her son was getting sick. Although her boss agreed to let her take off work, she was very hesitant to do it because she could not afford to miss work. Most of the time, she had to choose the work over her sick child. I remember a story from a man who worked 75 hours per week at two different jobs. He was the only source of income in the family. Because of the lack of employer-provided paid sick days, this young man sometimes forced himself to go to work ill and try to pretend he was feeling okay. If the boss had noticed him being sick, he would have asked my friend to leave. He shared with me about his struggles of not knowing how to pay the bills and buy food while he was out of work. Thank you for listening.
Thank you very much.
Good evening to all of you. My name is Salvador Diaz Trejo. I live in Eugene. I am 11 years old, and I attend to Howard Elementary School. I am here representing Juventud Faceta and to tell you why paid sick days is a basic human right. I live with my mom, my sister, and my baby niece. And thanks to the City Council in Eugene, they are able to stay home when they or me and my niece are sick. However, my cousin that lives here in Salem is not able to do the same. My cousin works to contribute to the economy of the state just like you. My nephew is in Salem is only 1 year old and was recently sick at the hospital. He wanted his mother, but she was not able to be with him the whole entire time because she was at work. For her losing days at work would have meant not enough money for payment, rent, or bills. When I learned about the hearing tonight, I knew I needed to come talk to you. There are many families like mine working hard to give us kids what we need to grow up. We kids need loving care best given by our mom or dad, but they need you guys to protect them so then they can protect us. I'm only a little kid, I know, but I know it doesn't make sense any sense that some people can have this family protection and others can't because they don't live in Portland or Eugene. Our family's important to you. My family is important to me, and I know human rights are for all people, anywhere and everywhere. If you agree with me, please make paid sick days a law for everyone in the state of Oregon. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Dear representatives of Oregon, my name is Yair Buendia, and I'm here representing Juventud Faceta. Currently, I am living in Corvallis, and I am here today to share my story of why paid sick days are a basic human right and how they help me and my family. Growing up, I sometimes had to stay home from school to babysit my younger siblings when they got sick. However, my mom had to leave the house worried about my little brother. She wished she could have stayed home and cared for him herself, but she couldn't because she didn't receive any paid sick time. I remember she would call me during every break she had to ask about my little brother. I could tell she was worried at work and probably wasn't concentrating. And my little brother, he missed his mom too. It was hard on him and me because I couldn't provide the same protection my mom would have been able to. While taking care of him, I would miss quizzes, homework, and get behind in my classes. But I had to stay home and care for my brother because my mom was scared of losing her job. Now that Eugene has paid sick days, I felt relieved. I am happy because none of my brothers or other students would have to experience what I did. Mothers will be able to stay home to take care of their own kids when they're sick. However, that's just for people living in Eugene and Portland. In the fall of 2014, I moved to Corvallis to continue my education. I found a part-time job that will help me pay for books and fees. Fortunately, I was able to get a job at the Albany School District, and I do get a few paid sick days. But what if I change jobs or need another one? I will most likely lose my right to paid sick days, even though I would continue to work hard every day. Taking a paid sick day shouldn't make a difference on a student's grade because they had to stay home to take care of their siblings. A parent shouldn't have to worry about being able to feed their children, pay the rent, or buy clothes for their children just for missing one or two few days of work when they get sick themselves. I hope you can help me and other hardworking families of mine so they are not faced with other difficulty choices like we were. Having paid the sick days is a human right for everyone.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, panel. Okay, so Mark Herbert, Brittany Quick Warner, Roger Cox, and Alex Gwiler.
And on deck, Ramon Ramirez and Mariana Alvarez.
Go ahead. Chair Dabro, Chair Olvey, members of the committee, thanks for taking some time. My name is Mark Herbert, and I am a management consultant from Eugene, Oregon. I work with employers throughout the state, actually throughout the country, ranging from as small as 10 to as big as thousands. I want to be very clear that, like some of the others that you're going to hear, my objections to the bill as it's currently written are not philosophical. I think sick time is a great thing. I don't have a single client that doesn't offer it, past, present, or future. The concerns I have as a bill, as it's written today, have some flaws in it. One of the flaws that I'm most concerned about is it creates yet another set of criteria. We have the Oregon Family Leave Act. We have other things that cover those. We create yet another set of criteria for employers to try to track. You've heard a lot of these guys. They don't have somebody like me. They don't have a human resources department. They're trying to do it themselves. This adds an onus that I don't think is anybody's intent. Like Mr. Morgan mentioned, one of my other concerns is I think that we need to deal with something that provides jurisdiction across the state rather than allowing different locations and things like that. I think that creates a nightmare. The other thing that I have as a human resources professional is the idea of spelling out sick time. If we're going to provide for paid sick time, if we're going to provide for paid time, let's provide for paid time. Let's not limit it to sick time. Let's make it a relationship between the employer and the employee. We make it available based on criteria that can be set. We already have a great template with what's available under the Oregon Family Leave Act and work with that. We've talked about the right to have sick time and everything. I'm in support of that, again, conceptually. I say it with some irony because as a self-employed consultant, there's no provision for me under this act. Where for a lot of the people probably in this room that are business owners, unfortunately, we're not protected. So that, thanks for your time.
Thank you. Ms. Quick-Warner.
Thank you. Chair Holby, Chair Dimbrough, members of the committee. My name is Brittany Quick-Warner, and I'm the Director of Business Advocacy for the Eugene Area Chamber of Commerce. I'm also the co-owner with my husband of a small business in Eugene. Nearly a year ago, the Eugene Chamber of Commerce heard from paid sick leave advocates and local employment attorneys on the benefits and challenges of a paid sick leave ordinance that was eventually passed in July of 2014 in Eugene. In conversations remarkably similar to the ones that you've heard today, our community and our chamber deliberated over the impacts of this potential ordinance on employees and employers in our area. In multiple surveys conducted over periods of several months, it was clear that, just as in employment policies, the reactions and concerns from employers and employees were not one size fits all. As the ordinance was drafted and administrative rules were created, one of the biggest and most obvious concerns that was surfaced was the differing regulations from city to city when it came to employment policies. Many of you, if not all of you, are likely familiar with our neighboring community just across the bridge. Despite our great divorce, Eugene and Springfield communities are still intimately connected, as are the governments, the businesses, and the employees who live and work there. While many relationships can be categorized as complicated, the Eugene Paid Sick Leave Ordinance has made the relationship for Eugene and Springfield businesses unnecessarily complicated. Tracking employees as they travel in and out of Eugene, as implied by Commissioner Fritz earlier today, is bound to be time-consuming and extremely administratively burdensome. If state legislators believe a statewide law mandating paid sick days is the best, then we urge you to please simplify the bill and protect the businesses and employees in our state by not allowing local jurisdictions to implement their own laws. That is a bill the Eugene Chamber of Commerce can support. Unlike some advocates suggested throughout the process of building our ordinance in Eugene, a paid sick leave bill will have significant impacts on many of the businesses in our state. As a small business owner myself, I found it frustrating at times when someone suggested how insignificant this law would be on business. Having put thousands of hours and sleepless nights into making sure we can pay the bills, I can guarantee you these things are significant. I ask you to respect that and to work together with advocates and opponents to create this bill.
Thank you, ma'am.
Sir. Good evening, Chair Hovey and committee members. My name is Roger Cox. I'm the co-owner and CEO of Selective Employment Services. We're based out of Springfield, Oregon. We have 7 branches throughout the state, from Clackamas to Medford and over to Bend, employing last year some close to 5,000 employees, most of whom are quite a few of whom found full-time regular employment through our services. There have been a lot of compelling stories here tonight regarding paid sick leave. I am not opposed to paid sick leave. What I am concerned about is the impact it has on business. We also represent over 500 clients, anywhere from a one-person construction company to some multinationals. We are in a spot right now where we are just verging on a recovery in this state. Having a situation where somebody who may or may not be viably profitable and adding an extra burden to them may tip them over. We need to provide good, solid jobs and a good economy and support businesses so that they can, in turn, provide good employment opportunities for our employees. A couple of the things that I would ask, I think it's a foregone conclusion that this is going to pass. But I think that the preemption is very important. We need to have a uniform law across the state and not allow each municipality to say how they want this enacted. I think that's critical. And that's pretty much all I'm going to get in here.
So thank you very much, you Ms. Cox.
Good evening, Chair Dembrough, Chair Holvey, members of the committees. I'm Alex Kyler. I'm Lane County's Intergovernmental Relations Manager. You have my testimony on OLIS that I submitted earlier today. The Chamber of Commerce testified to the divisiveness that occurred in the community in July as a result of Eugene leading up to passing their sick leave ordinance. In my 20 years in local government, I don't think I've seen a more divisive situation in local government in Eugene, Springfield. As a result of extreme concern from the other cities, the Board of County Commissioners actually passed 3 ordinances to essentially preempt the effectiveness of the city of Eugene's ordinance. You can imagine now this sets up a dynamic where we have 2 local governments, each with home rule authority, with sort of challenging each other's home rule authority. That is a situation that's absolutely untenable. It continues the divisiveness, and it puts us at a pretty extreme risk in terms of the legal conundrums that need to be sorted out as a result. So we were actually pretty happy to see the legislature taking it up. We do think that there needs to be a fix. We think that the terms and conditions of employment should be squarely in the legislature's wheelhouse and not provided to local government. Section 10 of the bill is absolutely unworkable for the Board of County Commissioners. You're setting a floor instead of a ceiling. There needs to be a ceiling here. And we would ask you to take care of that. There really does need to be a preemption in this bill so that there's a level playing field across the entirety of the state. With the language that's existing right now, what you're going to see is more dynamics where a county with home rule authority could say to a city with home rule authority, so sorry, but we're taking action against you, and that's the situation we find ourselves in now.
Thank you very much. Panel, thank you very much.
Up next, I have Ramon Ramirez, who's bringing someone up, and Mariana Alvarez. And Andrea Miller.
I'm translating.
Okay.
And then before you start, on deck, we have Todd London, Joe Gilliam, Roger Beyer, and Rick Day.
Chair Hovey and Chair Dimbrough, our other speaker got sick, and so she couldn't be with us this evening.
Yeah, and we'll give you more time for translation.
And was Andrea Miller with you?
Yeah, that's
yes.
Andrea.
Oh, there, and you're translating. Oh, okay, I got it.
For the record, Mr. Chair and members of the committee, my name is Ramon Ramirez. I'm president of PECUN, the Oregon Farm Workers Union, and on behalf of our 6,500 members, I am here to strongly support Senate Bill 454 and House Bill 2005 that would ensure that all working Oregonians can earn reasonable number of paid sick days every year, regardless of what industry they work in. Farm workers are America's lowest paid workers. Seasonal workers average about $9,000 a year. Full-time workers make about $14,000 a year. Yet, I think we're America's most valuable workers because we put food on the American table day in and day out. The agricultural industry is one of those industries that have a high number of injuries and illnesses because it's backbreaking work. It's hard work. And yet, farm workers are not afforded the rights that other workers have enjoyed for many years. I think I am in agreement with some of the testimonies of the growers that farm labor or agriculture is different. But the difference I see is that farm workers do not enjoy the same rights and benefits that other workers have. In fact, that makes us a lot different. And in fact, I applaud those growers that have testified today and have said that they've done the right thing. But that's not the case for the majority of farm workers that work in the state of Oregon. I want to urge passage of this bill, strong passage of this bill, because farm workers are one of the only workforce that really needs these kinds of protections. And we got to correct, sooner or later, historical inequality that has happened to the people that provide a valuable service to Oregonians and the American public. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Andrea Miller, the executive director of CAUSA. I am here to translate for Marianne. It's my pleasure to have her today. I'm going to let her start, and I will follow translating into English.
Mi nombre es Mariana Alvarez.
Hello, my name is Mariana Alvarez.
Vivo aquí en Ceylan desde el 2009. Soy madre de dos niños y pronto tendré mi tercer hijo.
I've lived here in Salem since 2009, and I'm the mother of two children, and I'll soon have my third child.
Durante mi vida en Oregon he trabajado en el campo recogiendo fresa, blueberry y mora. Otro de mis trabajos ha sido como proveedora de cuidado de niño. En ninguno de los trabajos he realizado he tenido el beneficio que se me pague el día que yo o uno de mis hijos es enferma.
I've worked in the fields during my time here in Oregon, picking strawberries, blueberries, and marionberries. Another of my jobs has been childcare. In all of these jobs that I've done, I've never had the benefit of getting paid if one of my children or I get sick.
Si soy yo la que enferma, así tengo que irme a trabajar, y si es uno de mis hijos, pues entonces tengo que buscar quien me los cuide, porque no puedo faltar a trabajar. Si faltara al trabajo, perdería parte de mi sueldo, y al final del mes no ajustaría para pagar algunos de mis biles o incluso mi renta.
If it's me that gets sick, I have to go to work like that. And if it's one of my children, well, I have to look for someone to take care of them because I can't miss work. If I miss work, I'll lose part of my salary, and at the end of the month, I won't have enough to pay one of my bills, including part of my rent.
Cuando uno en un trabajador que gana el sueldo mínimo y vive al día como lo que gana, no puede uno faltar a trabajar ni siquiera por un día. Así cuando me enfermo, esté como esté, me levanto y me voy a trabajar. No es recomendable ni la mejor solución, pero no tengo otra opción.
When you're a worker that earns minimum wage and lives day to day with what they earn, you cannot miss work, not even one day. So when I get sick, be what may be, I get up and I go to work. I wouldn't recommend it, nor is it the best solution, but I don't have another option.
Cuento mi historia porque estoy de acuerdo en que apruebe la propuesta de que se cubra el pago del día de enfermo en el trabajo.
I'm telling my story because I support the bill, this bill that provides paid sick time for all workers.
Gracias por escucharme y ojalá mi historia ayude en su decisión de aprobar la propuesta para que a todos los trabajadores en Oregon se nos pague el día que nos enfermamos y tenemos que faltar al trabajo. Gracias.
Thank you for listening to me, and I hope that my story helps in making your decision to advance this bill so that all workers in Oregon can still get paid when they get sick and don't have to miss work. Thank you.
Thank you very much, panel. Mariana, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, Todd London, Joe Gilliam, Roger Beyer, and Rick Day, please come forward.
And on deck, we have Gina Frazzini, Nico Quantano, Yiwan Chong.
Mr. London.
Good evening. My name is Todd London, and I appreciate you all spending the time to listen to us. I own a company here in Salem called ABC Window Cleaners and Building Maintenance. We were the 2010 Small Business of the Year, and we did that because of the way I treat my employees. In the cleaning industry, it's much like a Burger King's or the McDonald's. The turnover ratio is huge, and I had to find a solve a problem in finding good people. And one of those reasons was that I was able to take people who had barriers to employment, whether they were felons, whether they were people that had barriers, mental or physical handicaps, and I tried to hire them and give them an opportunity to succeed. Many of them have become shining lights in my company and have been with me 9 and 10 years. And that's because I take care of them. I give them better than fair wages, and I make sure that if they're sick, they can take the time off. I want to make sure that you understand that all businesses, this is going to be a very burdensome situation for them to deal with because everybody wants the lowest price. And when you add this onto it, it becomes another pass on when you have to get more money because you want a cheaper service. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Joe Gilliam, representing Northwest Grocery Association. We're here to support a amendment to the bill that allows for paid leave when Representative Gilliam speaks on the floor.
We'll pass it.
Shall we vote on that now?
Yes. Is that a motion? I don't know too much here. We're in a rock and hard place as we come to you. We're retailers, and the retailers I represent offer sick leave, either bargained or first day, some is third day, some is employee-owned. We offer it, but we're up against the problem where retailers come to market with low wage and no benefits. And it seems to be the target as part of this bill is to get at that problem. And so you have a whole group of employers who really go out of their way. They put together packages that are in balance. It's wages, it's sick leave, it's vacation time, it's health care. It's many pieces that are worked together, either they're bargained for or they are the part of the marketplace where you have to compete. So I'd ask as you go further in the debate of this bill is that you look at it in context of that, that you recognize the employers who are going the extra mile, who do offer the packages, and don't put them in a one-size-fits-all policy that ruins that benefit for them and the trade-offs. Through the experience in Portland and in Seattle, I can tell you some real numbers. This is about a $45,000 per store expense because of the increase in time used. I'm not going to argue whether it's, you know, fraud time or good time or whatever. It really doesn't matter. It's the time that is used. So it's a very expensive. It's about a $13 million bill to the retailers in the state of Oregon, just grocery retail. And that's about 450 jobs in terms of hours, FTE. So that has to come from someplace, so we have to balance that. So as we build this and as you look at it, recognizing that, rewarding those that are doing the right thing, that are ahead of everybody else, pulling up those that are lagging behind, and making it work that way. And we can get on board this.
Okay. Thank you, Joe.
Thank you, Chair Denbrough and Chair Hovey. My name is Roger Beyer. I'm here representing different clients of mine. So I'll start with the non-agricultural sector. So that would be the Independent Agents and Brokers of Oregon, the National Association of Insurance and Financial Advisors, and the Pacific Northwest Hardware and Implement Association. So these brick and mortar small businesses throughout Oregon are concerned about this piece of legislation, and I guess I would point you to the testimony given earlier today by both Betsy Earls and Jan from NFIB to get most of the concerns, and I will highlight a couple, though, that I will, or emphasize a couple, that you've already heard from other people. The definition of employer, I think, is a concern for these employers. The Oregon Family Leave Act would be a much better definition if you're going to go ahead and do this. The equivalent of a family relationship terminology under subsection 3 of section 2, we don't know what that means. And if that goes undefined, that is troublesome for them to try to figure out what that is. The 30-hour threshold for an hour of work, we believe that should be 40 hours if you're going to go forward with this bill. Just going to point out section 3 and section 6 of section subsection 3 and 6 of section 3 seem to be not very cohesive with each other. One says you can pay for unused sick leave, the other one says you don't have to. So maybe it's supposed to be that way. I think then finally the issue in section 10 being a ceiling. A floor rather than a ceiling. If this goes forward, it needs to be a standardized law for all jurisdictions, not a floor, but a ceiling, a cap. So I'll just point those out for those employers. For my other clients, my agricultural clients, the Oregon Seed Council, the Oregon Dairy Farmers, the Oregon Blueberry Commission, they have concerns. Have you heard from other ag employers? So I would just like to agree with what they've said, and we need to work on this for those type of employers. Thank you, Chairman.
Thanks, Richard.
Good evening, chairs and committee. My name is Rick Dia, an Advantage Precast, local company that employs 30 to 60 people. We're also very seasonal, as you've heard here this evening, so we have concerns in what that seasonality looks like. I'm also concerned as well with the 30-hour provision versus 40 hours, and it seems there's a lot of legislation floating around that seems to think 30 hours is a normal work week. Laws that restrict, or bills in this case, are laws that restrict an employer's ability to make the correct decisions to run their business are very difficult for us. We've been through rough years, as has been referenced here, and are just coming out of that. Our employees are vitally important to us and our biggest asset. We do everything we can for them. We try and provide them time off so they can use it as they see fit in a fashion that we see fit that works for our business model and not have that dictated to us. I'm concerned about 30-hour work weeks again. I'm concerned about having benefits and structures dictated to us on how those are managed. We need to do it within the parameters that the employer can afford to do it. And I like the idea of a free market where the employers that do the right things have the best employees come to them. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Ms. Day. Thank you, panel.
Up next, we have Jeannie Prezzini, Nico Guantano, and Yi-Wan Chong.
And on deck, we have Steve Beret, Rick Cherrier, and Mark Herbert, please.
You ready for us?
Yeah.
Great. Thank you. Good evening, Chair Hovey, Chair Dembro, and members of the committees. Thank you for the opportunity to testify this evening. My name is Gina Frizzini. I'm the Executive Director of Basic Rights Oregon. We represent tens of thousands of lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and allied Oregonians all across this state. And I'm very proud to be here tonight to speak on behalf of LGBT Oregonians all over the state of Oregon who are being left behind in this economic recovery of ours and who are not experiencing full equality. I'm here on behalf of folks like Frederick and Brian, a couple of more than 5 years, who live in Lebanon in Linn County. Frederick teaches at a cosmetology school in Corvallis, where he's provided a stipend for health insurance and no paid sick days. He purchased his health insurance through the Affordable Care Act. His partner, Brian, recently got a new job with a national chain restaurant where he's a cook. He receives no health care and no paid sick days. Last year, when Frederick had surgery and had to miss a week of work, he spent the next few months working extra jobs on the weekends to ensure that the couple could pay their bills. We clearly need to value the work of every Oregonian, and we need to understand that our families are made up of all kinds of relationships. So I really want to emphasize the importance of the definition of family as it appears in this bill. We need that definition. It reflects how families actually live. Four of every five families in this country fall outside the outdated notion that a family consists of a mom at home and a dad at work, my own family included. And for many people in our LGBT communities who have been rejected by their families because of the discrimination that persists in this state and in this country, folks have had to create families of support, of kinship, and of survival. And while they may not be related by blood, marriage, or under the law, thus far, they have made a commitment to care for each other as families have for generations. So as you consider this bill, please let's ensure that the law reflects and supports 80% of the families in this country that don't fit neatly into the outdated definition. Really proud to be here as part of this coalition and strongly encourage your support for House Bill 2005.
Thank you. Hello. And let me say, these microphones are very, very sensitive, so you can actually stay back and relax.
Good.
That would have been good.
Wonderful. Hi, good evening, Chair Hovey and Chair Dumbro. Thank you for the opportunity to testify tonight on this important issue. My name is Nico Quintana, and I'm the Policy Director at Basic Rights Oregon. I'm here to express my deep support for extending paid sick days to all Oregonians. As part of my role at Basic Rights Oregon, I lead the Transgender Justice Program, and this change will be very meaningful for the lives of transgender people in Oregon. Transgender people are four times more likely to live in poverty as other Oregonians because of the discrimination they face. As a transgender person, I can personally tell you how challenging it was for me to grow up in Eugene, Oregon. I came out to my family as queer when I was 13 years old and experienced homelessness for much of my high school years due to lack of acceptance and violence. Throughout my teenage years, I couch surfed, slept in cars, and stayed in the homes of LGBT chosen family and friends. I'm here tonight to speak to how important my chosen family is to me. And I was lucky enough to receive love and support from the lesbian community in Eugene, particularly one couple, Marlene and Flois, who I consider to be family. They provided me with emotional support and love and guidance when I was a youth and helped raise me. I'm not sure I would be here today if it weren't for the care and support of people like Marlene, Flois, and so many of my chosen LGBT family growing up. While the law does not define Marlene and Flois and many of my other friends and family as family, they are my family and they love and care for me and they always have. I'm lucky enough to be in a job that provides paid sick leave, allowed me to take care of my chosen family, but many LGBT people do not have access to paid sick days to take care of the people they love. You can change that policy. We need laws to recognize my family, Marlene and Flois, and the families of thousands of transgender people like me. While we may not be related by blood, we are family just the same. This time is time for the state of Oregon to once again demonstrate its leadership. Please support House Bill 2005.
Thank you very much, Nico.
Good evening, chairs and committee members. My name is Yiwan Chung, and I serve on the board of directors of Forward Together. We lead Strong Families, a national network of 150 organizations, including four in Oregon and thousands of individuals who are working to create the conditions for all families to thrive. We are thrilled that the Oregon legislature is poised once again to be a model for the nation by passing legislation that uses an expansive definition of family. And I'm excited by what this means for my family. I was born and raised in Malaysia. I had the opportunity to come to the U.S. to go to college, and upon finishing my degree, I feared returning home to Malaysia. The political and cultural climate of my home country was unsafe for me based on my sexual orientation, gender identity, and political beliefs. I was granted political asylum to stay in the U.S. and have called Portland home for the last 7 years. I am separated from every member of my blood family by 8,000 miles. So I have built a family of affinity that is every bit as strong, committed, and caring as my experience with my Blitt family. They were at my ceremony to celebrate my naturalization when I became a U.S. citizen 3 years ago. It is often issues of health that reveal the true bonds of family. When I had gender transition surgery, it was my chosen family that took care of me, drove me to and from the hospital, and provided emotional support. It is my affinity-based family members who are named in my living will and healthcare directive. So, when I get sick, I'll need to rely on my family members' ability to take time off to take care of me. There is an undeniable trend in the U.S. for us to define and create families outside the context of traditional traditional definitions. Our family desperately need policy to catch up to the way we actually live our lives, and paid sick leave is a crucial piece of the policy framework needed. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you, panel.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right, Steve Perret, Rick Charrier, and Mark Herbert, please.
And on deck, I have Tina Perkins, Melissa Garcia, and Usain Mindia.
Who are you?
Steve Perret.
Yours.
Rick Charrier.
Yeah, Rick. And Mark Herbert, are you around? Okay. Go ahead.
Good evening, Chair Hovey and Chair Dembro and committee members. My name is Steve Ferry. I'm the owner of Mr. Rick Plumbing in Portland and also the Leadership Council Chair for NFIB. I want to share my perspective on HB 2005, paid sick leave, and key points of impact to small business. First, the bill would require all businesses in Oregon to provide paid sick leave, regardless of its size. According to the 2008 U.S. Census Bureau, approximately 61% of businesses in the state have four or fewer employees, and 79% have nine or fewer employees. So we have a state with a large number of small businesses. Mandatory paid sick leave is simply not affordable for these small businesses. There should be an exemption for employers based on the size of their business and the number of employees. The last thing we want to do is force businesses to sacrifice jobs or other employee benefits in order to cover the additional cost of mandatory paid sick leave. I think one of the prevalent things I've heard here tonight is one size fits all. And I think that's one thing with this bill is we're trying to make one size fit all, and I don't think that's possible. The bill has no preemption provision. This allows different jurisdictions to enact their own paid sick leave, leaving policies, adding another layer of regulations that our small businesses already are burdened in. If the statewide paid sick leave bill moves forward, it must be consistent for all Oregon employers by preempting any current or future city or county regulations. I'm kind of an example of that with Portland. I just went through and spent about $6,000 redoing my handbook and abiding by the City of Portland sick leave law, yet now it's going to change again. The last issue real quickly is the 56 hours.
I think we're going to have to move on.
So in closing, In closing, I think business owners want to take care of their employees and grow their business. We all do. But a lot, what we understand is there's a lot of small business owners out there that want to have paid sick leave and would love to do that, but they cannot afford it. So I urge you to really take a close look, and with the issues of minimum wage, low carbon fuel standards, all these things we're piling on small business, I urge you to really take a look at this bill. Thank you.
Thank you. Rick.
Thank you, Chair Dembro and Chair Hovey, members of the committee. Thank you for taking the time to listen to me tonight. I know that you're staying here late. This is a big issue. There's so many things to go over. You look at the time that has to go into this. I've spent pretty much the
day. Rick, could you give us your name for the record?
Oh, please? I'm sorry. My name is Rick Cherrier, and I'm here representing ORPHCC, which is the Oregon Plumbing, Heating, Cooling Contractors. I'm also a business owner. Grew up in Oregon here. Grandparents immigrated to Oregon. Turn of the century, and I grew up learning how to work in the berry fields and learning to pick night crawlers, chickens, anything else that I could do to make a living. I had the opportunity to get into plumbing and have gone from there to owning my own business, and I know the expenses that this bill will create. I've gone through it with the city of Portland. The recent city of Portland paid time off situation. Thousands of dollars that we had to spend so that we could comply with that. We're just digging out of one of the biggest recessions that we've had. We want to be able to provide for our employees. We do provide for our employees. Plumbing is a specific trade. We have unique things that I think with the one size fits all doesn't work for us. We have 24-hour service. We have people that have to be on call 24 hours a day. If you're trying to make it so that each business and each company provides the exact same thing for their employees, why would they want to come work in a business where they have to be 24 hours a day? There are certain things that I know that my employees need. I have an average tenure of 11 years with my employees. I have one that's been with me 30 years. I know what they need. I want employees. I need new employees. I can't give it to them if I can't tailor things to my employees. They all get plenty of time off. They only averages 3 days a year of sick leave, and giving 8 hours means that you're just going to make them go sit at home to get that money, because why not get that money? They earn it. Well, I'd rather give it to them in their own wages than in something that they're not going to use. Thank you.
Thank you, Rick. Good to see you again.
Thank you.
Up next, I have Tina Perkins, Melissa Garcia, and Usain Mendia.
And then on deck, we have Treva Gams, Nick Williams, and John Miller.
Chair Hovey, Chair Denborough, and the members of the community, thank you for having me here this evening. For the record, my name is Melissa Garcia. I am an SEIU 49 member. I'm a medical assistant at Kaiser Permanente. I have been there for over 24 and a half years. At Kaiser, I do have a wonderful job. We have a labor management partnership that really improves patient care. But using our sick days is an area that has been a big challenge in our jobs. I and my coworkers have earned sick days, and as a healthcare provider, I encourage you to expand earned sick days to other people. But I support legislation go beyond just expanding sick days. It protects workers like myself and my coworkers when we use our sick days. We have an attendance policy that is meant to hold people accountable who are misusing sick days, but unfortunately, it has such a broad net that it catches everyone, including people who are using their sick days appropriately. If you have more than 3 incidences within 6 months of calling out ill, you're called in for a meeting. And a doctor's excuse is not counted as an excuse. Acute illnesses are not covered under FEMLA. For the past several weeks, I have been working ill and getting refills on my antibiotics because I am afraid of calling out sick. I have a chronic back illness, and I need to keep my ill time for my back. I also recently represented a 30-year employee who was disciplined for calling out ill. The legislation has an incredible opportunity to pass legislation that both expands sick days to workers who don't have it and protect workers who do have it but can't use it. I encourage you to support the legislation. Thank you very much.
Hi, you guys. My name is Tina Perkins, and I'm a home care worker for Clackamas County. I take care of the elderly. I have 4 clients that I take care of, and we only get 4 days out of a year to take time off. That's not enough time for us to have sick time. I'm the only one in that home taking care of them. I have a client that is a dialysis patient. If she gets sick, if I get her sick or she gets me sick, I have to be in there to take care of her no matter what. she gets taken to the hospital for her dialysis because she can't go to the dialysis center to do her dialysis. So she's been in the hospital the last 2 weeks, a while back when we were both sick. And, you know, I really wish you guys would pass this bill because we really do need it. If we don't, I'm going to be in there sick every single time. Please pass the bill. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you both.
Thank you.
Okay, Treva Gans, Nick Williams, and John Miller.
And on deck, Marilyn Falwell, Janice Neong, and Jane Carlson.
Chair Dembro, Chair Hovey, thank you for the opportunity to share ideas with us. My name is Nick Williams, and I serve as the Public Policy and Membership Manager for the Salem Area Chamber of Commerce. We've submitted a letter into the written record. The Salem Chamber and our 1,100 member...
Nick, if you could stay away from the mic.
Oh,
Nick,
sorry.
Yeah, just...
I'm sick. I can't hear. You're welcome. We are fully in favor.
Go home, Nick. No. Just, but stay away from the mic.
You got it.
It picks everything up.
We are fully in favor of employee benefits, including paid sick time, as deemed appropriate by those responsible for the ultimate success of the business and the retention of their talent. We're opposed to those choices being removed from the employers. With that, we have two of our local private sector business owners here with us today. Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Treva Gans. I own Gamberetti's Italian Restaurant here in Salem, Oregon. I employ 30 staff members. And being a recent new business, I'm going to be open now for 5 years. I know where my struggles were. I know where I'm at, and I have enclosed with you some of the numbers so that you can take a look to where our percentages are and what growth and where I can go and where some of my limits are. And the limits we can kind of overcome as we do, but also giving the opportunity for a new business to be able to start. The restaurant industry is very, it's got small profit margins. So as we're working with them, and I'm trying to work with my staff, I do have some paid time off on some full-time employees. Most of my employees are a part-time, and they're part-time for a reason, whether it is school or whether they've got kids in school and they're working the lunch shifts. But with them, part of their income is their tips and what they're doing. And we've heard some other kind of testimony about where, you know, minimum wage at two something. We're one of the highest minimum wage. So my servers make a great amount. So what to them is more important is that they make that shift. We have health laws and regulations that they cannot show up. We have mandatory meetings. We talk to them. If you have fevers, you're throwing up, diarrhea, you're not allowed to work. But we do have enough staff with 30 that they can change and interchange. So they get their shifts covered. They trade so that they don't lose their tips. They don't lose their income. So the bigger part is my kitchen staff, again, which they trade because we have so many hours available. We're not a traditional 9-to-5, 40-hour week. We're two shifts, three shifts a day. So we have the opportunity for them to flip. They would much prefer getting those annual raises. And that's what my kitchen, it's like, if I can't do both, what would you guys prefer? Well, their voice is that they would prefer the raises instead of the sick pay. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Stay away from the mic. Good evening, committee. My name is John Miller. I own a small business here in Salem. I run some fitness clubs. I employ about 50 full-time people and about 300 part-time people. I just have a couple of points that I want to make about this legislation. If you could, for a moment, imagine that you wanted to take a trip to L.A. I would imagine most of you would go online, as I did last night, and pull up a travel website where you can compare rates, and you're going to buy the cheapest airfare to get to L.A. and back. That's what most people do. Or you're going to buy a car. You're going to go find the best price you can. it's been characterized that people like myself are just being selfish by not providing sick time to part-time workers. And by passing a law like this, then, hey, that just means a little less money for me, but I've got plenty of it. I can tell you that I've worked in my business since 1981. I've been the owner since 2007. And my wife more and more, and I more and more, kind of look at each other sometimes over dinner and ask ourselves, why again are we doing this? Because it's getting to be less and less fun running a business. And you do it for the passion, and so we stay in it and we love it. But, man, sometimes you have to question. When you do this, by my calculations, with all of those part-time employees that do not have sick leave presently, it's going to add about $100,000 a year to my costs. And that's got to come from somewhere. So that's going to result in higher fees that I have to charge. And I can tell you, in my business, we're sort of oriented towards serving a lot of seniors and retirees. And I can remember the last time we raised the price of coffee by 25 cents. This is not going to be fun for those retiree folks, and they're going to care about this and about the other things that you're considering that is going to add to the costs of running a small business. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, all three of you.
So we have Marilyn Falwell, Janice Neying, and Jane Carlson.
And on deck, Dirk Merler, Roger DeJager, and Todd Sensenbach.
Hello, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Marilyn Falwell, and I'm a school bus driver for First Student in Molalla, Oregon. And this is part of my written testimony in favor of paid sick leave. I applaud the companies that treat their employees like family. I just don't happen to work for one. Anyway, we have thousands of students that we transport every day at various times of the day, and we're frequently sick. The problem when drivers get sick, and we frequently do because we're constantly taking sick kids back and forth to work or school, and they expose us, we expose our coworkers, and it turns into a vicious cycle. A lot of parents don't have sick leave, so their kids go to school anyway. That means we're always sick. Some of the times we have drivers driving that are so sick they're running temperatures. And so we keep each other sick, we re-expose the students, and we have a vicious cycle of sickness, and that can be epidemic. The first year I drove bus, Thanksgiving, I missed a day and a half, and I never fully recovered. A couple months later, I got sick again because I never got over it, and I kept coughing until June of that year. This year I got sick the 1st of November. Oftentimes they call us at home and ask, can you come in for the next run? We don't really have anybody to cover your shift. So we go in because the kids have got to get home as well as get to school. I've run a temperature of 102 twice this year, been to the doctor three times, and I'm continually sick. Please pass this bill. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chair and members of the committee. My name is Jane Carlson, and I'm the Zone 2 Director of the Oregon School Employees Association. I'm the OSCA Molalla River Chapter President, and I'm a Head Elementary Secretary at Molalla Elementary. I've worked for the Molalla Elementary School District for 22 years, 18 of those years as a school secretary. For my written testimony, I'd like to share the following. The number of sick students I see each day varies. 12 to 15 is a good average, with about a third of them having to be excluded from illness. This group often tells me they were sick at home, but they had to come to school because their parents didn't have anybody to take care of them at home because they had to be at work. The Oregon Health Exclusion Tool we use for schools states the child has to be free of a fever or vomiting or be on antibiotics for 24 hours before they can return back to school, and we have to tell the parents that when they come to pick up the child. Children coming to school are contagious, and they spread their illnesses to everyone they come in contact with. I had a child in my office for 5 hours with a fever and a rash. Her parents had no paid sick time. The 7-year-old child was miserable. She would come up to me crying and coughing. She'd lay her head on my shoulder or on my hand, my arm, ask me when her mom was coming. She was diagnosed with chickenpox the next day. About 12 days later, I developed blisters on my right leg and electric-type nerve pain on my hip and down my leg. I had shingles. The long-term result of being exposed to this child whose parents did not have paid sick time was devastating to me. I missed the last month of school and my son's high school graduation ceremony and was sick most of that summer. With this virus, I now have autoimmune issues and continue to suffer periodic outbreaks of shingles for the rest of my life. For all the reasons I have outlined for you, I implore you to support this legislation for paid sick leave, SB 454 and HB 2005. Thank you for your consideration.
Thank you, Ms. Carlson.
Thank you, chairs and members of the committee. My name is Janice Nyaw, and I'm a bus driver, school bus driver for Gresham Barlow. And I drive for First Student, and I know that name comes with a weighty reputation. I have provided a written testimony, but I would also like to provide some stories of some drivers who have asked me to speak on their behalf. I'm a 53-year-old mother. I'm a school bus driver, and I may not have a job tomorrow. First Student doesn't provide sick leave. It penalizes you every time you have to be out sick. We were able, through our union, to establish a contract that allowed us, if we were sick for 3 days, to bring in a doctor's excuse and therefore avoid some penalty. But most people are working below poverty, and they have to work. I'm one of those people. I had to work. I worked until I was too sick and couldn't work any longer. I was driving bus for a month, ill. I knew that I had caught the cold despite everything that I had tried to do to avoid it. I then started experiencing back pain because I work a 5-hour shift with no opportunity to use a restroom. You can imagine what that means. I was walking home when I realized that I was about to experience an extreme bout of vertigo. And I thought, dear God, what would happen if I had been behind the wheel? I know so many drivers who have had this experience that know that they just spent the day hauling your precious children around, and they were too sick to have been doing that. I am thankful that I have that opportunity, but I'm not sure I'll have it tomorrow because I've already earned enough penalties being sick just for that short period of time that my paycheck was a grand total of $20 in December. And I've racked up enough sick points in 1 week, 2 points a day, that I now have 2 points to give, or I'm no longer employed. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, all three of you. Okay, we have Dirk Merler, Roger DeJager, Todd Sensenbach, and can we also bring up Bill Case, if he's in the room? Thank you.
And on deck, I have Stephen Michael, Jess Giannettino, and Carly Edwards.
Hello, committee. I'm Dirk Moeller with Business Connections. We're a small call center located right here in downtown Salem. We've been doing it 24 hours a day, 7 days a week since 1949. Our customers are First Student, for instance, plumbers, electricians, funeral homes, tow truck drivers, attorneys, computer IT people, anything that breaks and it's kind of a big deal, it can't wait, we're there to answer and get that call to a person that can fix it. We have 30 employees. 14 of those are either high school or college students. And to staff our call center, we have 800 hours that we book each week. We just implemented a $1 per hour wage increase, so I've had to push about a 4% price increase to my clients. We also pay for 85% of our health premiums for our employees. We used to pay 100%. And we also have a profit sharing program where we pay 15% of their gross wages if they're over 21. if this policy passes, I'm going to have to somehow either steal money out of that profit sharing or health insurance, or I'm going to have to push through another rate increase to my clients. But I don't know if I can if they can handle another 2%. It might cause them to choke and so forth, and I don't want to do that. So the bad thing for us is that we lose flexibility with this. Right now I can kind of push money where my employees want to. Here I'm going to have to either take it away from like their profit sharing program. We lose a competitive advantage. We service all over North America, and there are alternatives. People can pick a provider that's lower priced than us because they don't have all these government mandates and higher minimum wages and so forth. So that's my concern, and I'll leave it at that. Thank you.
Thanks, Tim. I'm Roger DeJager, and I dairy farm in Jefferson, Marion County. I do that with my two sons, and I have four employees. And if any of them sick on a milking business, you do not want anybody sick in a barn handling food. So we've been paying the wages straight through, never deducted it if they were sick. We provide vacation, paid vacation. And now I gotta think a minute. Oh yeah, the milk product is controlled by the government. We cannot increase, if we get an increase in wages, I cannot increase the product. Plus we have to compete with foreign governments and other states. So the price is controlled by the government. I cannot increase it. So that's why I'm against the Senate Bill 454 and House Bill 2005.
Thank you. Hi, my name is Todd Sensenbaum from Bend. First of all, thanks for letting me speak tonight. I really appreciate that.
Thank you for coming.
I own a small business, Home Instead Senior Care Franchise. We employ over 100 care workers, and we serve over 100 families throughout the Central Oregon area. I've owned this business for 6 years now, and in order to own a business like this for 6 years, you have to be pretty smart, and I would consider myself successful. The main reason why I'm successful is that I really focus on employee satisfaction. I know there's a direct relationship between employee job satisfaction and my clients or customer satisfaction. If any of my competitors do not pay heed to this, I'll steal their employees. How do I know what my employees want? Because I ask, I listen, I change things, and I balance the books. We're always on the constant mission to improve our employees' job satisfaction, knowing in doing that we'll improve our clients' satisfaction. I do not need new regulations to show me how to do that, because I ask my employees directly what they want, and they tell me. They want an hour's work bonus instead of sick pay. And the reason they want it is because they can use it for sick pay, they can use it for paid time off, or if they're well, they still get a cash bonus at the end of the year. So I would just ask you to consider that when you're doing this, and remember what I said, what I do with my employees. I ask them, I listen, I change, and I always balance the books. And you have to do that to own a small business. So I would ask you to please consider this in making these new decisions. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Sussman.
So I have Carly Edwards, Jess Giannettino, and Stephen Michael.
And then on deck, we will have Jeff Peter, Ed Montecucco. Sorry. Preston something, and John Zielinski. Preston Roth, maybe? Yeah. Oh.
Okay.
All right. We'll bring you up, but Mr. Case.
Chair Holvey, Chair Dembro, and members of the committee,
My name is Carly Edwards, the State Director for Oregon Working Families. I am here in support of paid sick days for workers across Oregon. The ability to take time off when you are sick is the kind of common sense policy that we need for working families and for the health of our state. Working families cannot afford to lose a paycheck or their job because they fall ill, and the state can't shoulder the cost of spreading preventable illnesses. We've been working in coalition since 2012 on this issue, and together we've won paid sick days and brought peace of mind to workers and their families in Portland and Eugene. Oregon Working Families has had conversations with over 60,000 Oregonians about the need for paid sick leave. We've found that Oregonians not only overwhelmingly support paid sick days, but are willing to take action to show that support. Tens of thousands have signed petitions, had their photos taken, or shared their stories with us. These stories come from around the state and cut through demographics like race, class, and gender. The message is clear. Paid sick leave for hardworking families in Oregon is essential for the health of the state. Without paid sick leave, workers are vulnerable to losing their jobs, keeping a roof over their heads, and having the ability to take care of their families. The state, on the other hand, depends on a stable and healthy workforce. Oregonians are looking to the leadership of this legislature to pass this essential policy and better the lives of hardworking families across the state. Thank you.
Thanks.
Chair Dembro, Chair Holby, members of the committee, my name is Jessica Genentino, and I'm here tonight representing the Oregon AFL-CIO. Ironically, because my colleague Graham is utilizing our own paid sick leave policy tonight, and he is at home. On behalf of the 300,000 workers of the Oregon AFL-CIO, we are pleased to encourage your support for paid sick time for all workers in the state. Some others have referred to how today's economy looks vastly different from the pre-recession economy, and I just want to stress that too few workers and their families have seen that bounce back in their own pocketbooks. I want to highlight and elevate the workers who are both here and cannot be here that are part of the nearly 400,000 workers, nearly 25% of our workforce, that make $12 or less an hour. Too often, those workers also have little access to no paid sick time. We have a unique opportunity to make the state of Oregon even greater and pass paid sick leave this session. Thank you for your time.
Chairs Dembro and Holvey, members of the committee, thank you so much for the time, the opportunity to speak tonight. My name is Stephen Michael. I'm the state director for the Main Street Alliance of Oregon. We're a coalition of over 2,500 small business owners from around the state, and we work as hard as we possibly can to create opportunities for business owners to get their own voices heard on issues like this. Unfortunately, a number of our business owners couldn't make it here tonight, and so they submitted written testimony. It's on OLIS. You should be able to read through that. But I will say that part of our outreach model is walking business to business all across the state. And when we're talking to business owners, we have a survey, a public policy survey that we do with folks. And over the last year, we talked to 443 business owners across the state. The vast majority of these, over 90%, were small business owners. So these are folks with less than 25 employees. Most of those have under 10 employees. Keep in mind, we talk to these business owners by actually going into their business. So the business owners we work with are working families, too. They're going to work every day and running their business. I will say that one of the first questions we ask is, as a business owner in Oregon, what do you need most to get the economy back on track and create more jobs? Is it lower taxes, fewer regulations, or more customers? And 52% of them say more customers. And we know what creates more customers is our customers having more money in their pockets. What does that is making sure that they don't have that our employees and that our customers don't need to choose between going to work sick, infecting the rest of the workforce, infecting the customers, and taking care of their family and earning a paycheck. Additionally, we did see that 48% plurality of business owners that we talked to across the state were in support of a paid sick days proposal, such as the one that's on the table, Senate Bill 454, House Bill 2005. And interestingly, 51% of women business owners were supportive of this. And so there's definitely, thank you for your time. We urge your support in Senate Bill 454 and House Bill 2005.
You're so responsive, Stephen. Thank you.
Okay, so we have Mr. Case here, so I'm just going to call up for now Mr. Case and Jeff Heater.
On deck, I have Casey Jama, Midge Purcell, and Jeanette Turner.
You go first.
Thanks. Chairman?
Welcome, Mr. Case.
Bill Case. I farm about 1,800 acres in the Jefferson area. All fresh market, sweet corn and green beans. I hire about 80 part-time workers, seasonal workers. I have about 10 full-time workers. I furnish housing to almost all of them, all 80 workers. We do fresh market, and our main customers are Safeway, Fred Meyer, Winco, Albertson, and Walmart. We don't have a choice to set the price. They set all the prices. We don't have any way of, we can negotiate back and forth with them some, but when they get a certain price, it's set. We don't have any choice. We have to compete with Washington and California for our price, on our corn price, particularly. California, for some reason, can come in here. They can put product here in Oregon cheaper than I can pack it, because their cost down there are that much less. So we are in a real bind here to add any increased cost to our production. There's no room, no wiggle room in this thing at all. And I try to take care of my employees. I've got two of them has been with me 40 years, and the rest of my part-time 10 full-time employees have been here anywhere from 10 to 25 years. I just think there needs to be an ag exemption in this thing, because there is no ag workforce available. We get our orders every morning. We have to pack them that day. We have no choice. So, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Case.
Good evening, Chair Dembrough and Chair Holden. My name is, and the rest of the committee, my name is Jeff Heater. I have a small cherry and apple orchard in the Dalles. I'm a member of the Columbia Gorge Fruit Growers Association, along with Senator Chuck Thompson. And I'm a member, a committee member of the Oregon Sweet Cherry Commission. And I wanted to talk about just my situation. I have a very seasonal workforce. Cherry harvest normally at my place lasts less than 3 weeks. This year I hired over 100 seasonal employees. Most of them work for 1 to 2 weeks. I didn't get them the whole 3 weeks. These folks are averaging right around $20 an hour. They're being paid by the amount of fruit that they pick per day, and these guys are professionals. These people are also very transient. They move around to different orchards in the area. Some of the guys that work for me probably also work for Senator Thompson. A lot of them come from California. I have two what I call permanent employees that work for me every year, but these two individuals also work part-time elsewhere when we don't have work in the cherry orchard. Agricultural industry is very unique in the fact that there's a lot of people moving around from job to job. And like Senator Thompson mentioned earlier, trying to keep track of how many hours everybody is working for each employer is going to be quite burdensome. And like Senator Thompson also mentioned, the farmer is the bookkeeper, and he's taking care of everything else. And most guys are farmers because they're not great at doing paperwork and administrative work. And filing W-2s is my least favorite thing to do. And I want to close by saying that, like everybody else that has testified in from the agricultural industry, our workforce is very limited, and I'm urging you to consider an ag exemption for this rule. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Heater.
I got one other thing. I have to bring in an H-2A program out of Mexico because there is no workforce in Oregon. Period.
Let me just say, colleagues, we are just about at 8 o'clock, and I think we can get through all these panels by 8:30. Representative Holvey and I are, we'll stay to continue to take testimony. If you need to leave, please feel free to do that. We're going to be, let me just say, and this is true for everyone, we've heard a lot of great testimony today. Thank you all for being so timely and sticking to the 2 minutes. We have a lot that we're going to need to process over the next couple of weeks. I think Rep. Holvey and I are really looking for your feedback, your reactions to what you're hearing today during the day, tonight, and any input that's coming directly to you as we kind of craft the final nature of this bill. So
I have Casey Jama, Midge Purcell, and Jeanette Turner.
And then on deck we'll have Ed Montepuco and John Zelensky.
Thanks.
And Preston Rock. Something.
Good evening, Chair Stembro, and Holvey, and the Joint Committee. My name is Midge Purcell, and I work for the Urban League of Portland, an organization that has served the African-American community in Oregon and others for the last 70 years. And I'm here to support SB 454 and HB 2005. The Urban League supports this bill, or these bills, not only because it will benefit all working Oregonians, but because a high proportion of African Americans, 44% of women and nearly 50% of African American men, are not currently able to earn a single paid sick day to use to recover from common illnesses. So when they get sick, they have to risk their economic security by staying home, or their health or their family members' health by going to work. In Oregon, nearly 30% of African American families live in poverty, and many of them are working poor, as 20% of black women and 28% of black men are underemployed. So for these families living paycheck to paycheck, losing precious income due to illness is no small matter. There's also the issue of job retention. Unfortunately, discrimination and hostile work environments are alive and well in some workplaces, and too many African American workers feel insecure and vulnerable at work. And with good reason, a 2010 national survey revealed that 16% of workers had reported being fired for taking time off to care for a sick child or a family member. My organization, the Urban League, received calls from many community members who feel that they've been discriminated or victimized at work. One such case was a woman called Siobhan, who felt that she, well, was made to feel she wasn't welcome in her workplace, but was determined to stay. She did everything right and everything above and beyond to appease her supervisor, but when she became ill and had to take time off, she was dismissed. So we feel that this would help those kind of workers, so we urge support and passage of paid sick days. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Midge.
Okay.
Chair Dembro, Chair Holvey, and committee members, my name is Jeanette Turner, and I'm the president of Communication Workers of America, Local 7901. We represent CenturyLink in the Portland metro area, AT&T Mobility in Portland metro and Southwest Washington areas, DEX, and several other small represented industries. Many of our members in my union are currently represented by a collective bargaining agreement. They don't have access to paid sick time without disciplinary action, unless they live or work in the city of Portland. When a member takes a sick day, it's an equivalent to one attendance point. And when they reach the company's set limit, it starts a disciplinary process. and ultimately leads to terminations. The companies that provide a middle-class income for the telecommunications that we provide as members should have paid excess to paid time off without disciplinary action for the common cold or common illness. Many employees outside of the collective bargaining agreement process are subject to discipline for being sick, which can lead to termination. And on average, our stewards provide representation to ill members who are disciplined for sick time on a common basis. It doesn't matter if you're a member of a union or a non-represented member, a worker. Being sick is not just worth having, it's not worth having to lose. Choose between paying a bill or going to work sick just to keep your job. Without the paid sick time ordinance, many families with or without collective bargaining rights are at a disadvantage, which is why I support SB 454 and House Bill 2005.
Thank you for that. Casey, welcome.
Good evening, Chair Halfy and Chair Tembro, members of committee. Habeen wa'ana wa naksen. That's in Somali meaning good evening. So I just want to make sure everybody's awake. I'm here today representing Oregon Health Equity Alliance. Oregon Health Equity Alliance would like to express...
I'm sorry, Casey, excuse me. For the record, can you give us your name, please?
Thank you, Chair. For the record, my name is Casey Chama. I am the Executive Director of the Center for Intercultural Organizing. I'm also here to represent the Oregon Health Equity Alliance. Oregon Health Equity Alliance would like to express our support for HB 2005 and SB 454. OHE represents a collective effort of 37 member organizations who are working together to make Oregon a more equitable place for all. Our coalition believes every Oregonian should have an equal chance to achieve their full health potential, and that's why we are supporting those two bills. We also know that most of the Oregonians who are impacted those issues on lack of health care, lack of basic days are mainly low-income community members, people of color, and immigrant refugee members like myself. I want to share with you a little bit about the history of my agency. And 11 years ago, I have started a nonprofit called Center for Intercultural Organizing. In 2007, I decided when we were about to hire our first employee, I sat in front of the computer and I decided to determine what kind of policy employee that I want to have. In 2007, I included every single employee should have a full paid sick days if they choose to, if they call sick. Today, we have 12 full-time employees and two offices. What we get from that is loyalty, employees who are understand the company that our organization cares about them, and they actually work harder. I have never experienced anything that people either call it sick because they don't need to, but most importantly, loyalty and dedication. That's what we got on. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Casey. Thank you, all three of you. Okay, Ed Montesuco, sorry, Preston Roth, and John Zielinski, please.
On deck, Lasana Mendia, Melissa Earbaum, and Sarah Coty, I guess.
Try that.
Okay, Sarah.
Yes, you didn't butcher my name too much. My name is Ed Montecuco. I represent the partners of Montecuco Farms. The bill before you would be very detrimental to our farming operation. It would limit our purchasing of machinery, irrigation pipes, fertilizers, ag chemicals, and other items important to a successful farming operation. This would also hurt the economy because farmers like us would be paying for sick leave for its workers instead of purchasing the items mentioned above. We employ about 100 employees. About half of them worked for us since 1974. When we have a sick employee, we take care of them. We take them to the doctor, the hospital, transport them there. We also interpret if he needs interpretation. And we also bring him back and we get his prescriptions filled. This is why we have employees that work for us for so long. And so, for these reasons, I urge the committee to consider all the ramifications of this bill. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Chair Dimbrough, Chair Holvey, committee members. My name is John Zielinski. I'm a fourth-generation farmer just northeast of Salem here. I'm also the president of Marion County Farm Bureau. I would like to share with you why this bill is not good for Oregon's agriculture industry, an industry that is the financial backbone of Oregon. Some things to consider. Many Oregon crops are picked using a piece rate, which benefits both the employees and the employers. How would we calculate sick leave under a piece rate system? There is no provision for this. There could be the possibility of double dipping. As we near the end of a crop, sometimes strawberries or blueberries, the picking isn't quite as good at the end. Employees may want to say, I want to check, get my benefit of a sick day, and they're calling in sick on the last days that crop needs to be harvested, leaving the crop in the field, which can sometimes mean if it's maybe 5% of the crop out there, that might be all the profit that that farmer sees for the year. Not getting that 5% of the crop in could make a real difference. Your round employees might wait to claim their sick time for when they're truly sick. However, as I just mentioned, I think that it would be highly likely that seasonal labor would claim their benefit at the last days of harvesting a perishable crop, knowing that the job will be ending soon, leaving the grower with fruit in the field and frustrated. Ag is predominantly a small business. We don't have HR departments. I would encourage you to consider an exemption for agriculture and other seasonal industries. 80% of Oregon's ag commodities are exported. Without an ag exemption, family-owned farms will be at a huge competitive disadvantage. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, sir. Is there anyone whose first name is Preston and I can't make out their last name? Anyway, if there's somebody here whose name is Preston, feel free to come forward.
So I had Lisana Medina, Melissa Earbaum, and Sarah Cooley. Any of the above?
We'll call the next one.
How about Anastasia Hernandez and Danielle Perry? Go ahead and start if you'd like.
Chair Holby, Chair Dembrough, members of the committee. My name is Lisana Medina. I live in Albany, and I am an SEIU member. I work at Aramark Cleanroom Services in Corvallis. I have worked at Aramark for almost 5 years, and I'm here to support earned sick days for myself, for my coworkers, and for my family. At Aramark, we have 40 hours of earned sick leave, but it's second day sick leave, which means for the first day you are out, you don't get paid unless you are hospitalized. Even if you have a doctor's note for the illness, you don't get paid, only for the days after the first day. Most of my coworkers and I are not out for longer than a day, which means we don't get paid for that day. I've had some stomach pains for a couple of months now, and I'm working with my doctor to try and figure out the problem. But 2 weeks ago, I got really sick and had to call out on Thursday and Friday. And even though I was working with a doctor and had a doctor's note, I didn't get paid sick pay for Thursday, which means I had to take a vacation day because I cannot afford to have a day with no pay. And nobody wants to take a sick day or a vacation day to stay at home sick. Also, our sick days are just for us, which seems reasonable, but I have 2 children, a 7-year-old and a 10-year-old. Both of my kids are very healthy, but my daughter got the stomach flu about 2 weeks ago, which meant a lot of diarrhea and vomiting. It was going around school, and she picked it right up. Right now, I can't take a sick day to stay at home and take care of my kids, even though I have sick days. I had to take my daughter to my sister, who, lucky for me, she wasn't working at the time. No one wants to take care of a sick kid. You can't take them to daycare and put them in school because then the other kids get sick. But missing a day of wages for me means other difficult choices. I hope that you will support the sick day bills because for working moms like me, it will mean a lot for my family and it will mean a lot for my coworkers.
Thank you very much, Lisana.
Go ahead, whoever.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm Melissa Earlbaum, the Executive Director for Clackamas Women's Services and
resident of Clackamas County, Oregon. And I'm here to talk a little bit about how this would support survivors of domestic and sexual violence and stalking. When victims need to seek the safety net support services that are vital to sometimes their lives. You know, we've lost over 250 Oregonians since 2003. To domestic violence, sexual violence incidents. And oftentimes when victims need to seek support, like getting a restraining order or medical assistance or working with law enforcement or a victim advocate, they have a lot of places to go, a lot of doors to go through, and a lot of people to work with to gain safety. And so this bill would quite literally save lives by providing safe days so that a survivor or victim does not have to choose between providing for their family, keeping their job, and getting this court protection that they need, or the protection from law enforcement, or the services with an advocate. We also know that economic stability is the number one reason why folks return to abusive relationships or remain in abusive relationships. So ensuring that survivors have access to those paid sick days and paid safe days is critical for the economic stability and ability to provide for their family and stay safe. So I'm here on behalf of the survivors that we serve and our staff and our community to urge you to support this on behalf of victims. Thank you.
Thanks, Melissa. Danielle.
Good evening, Chairs Holvey and Dembro and members of the committee. My name is Danielle Perry, and I'm the mother of a 3-year-old boy who's watching us right now, and I'm expecting the birth of his brother soon. I'm also a member of the Graduate Teaching Fellows Federation, and I'm here representing 1,500 part-time graduate employees at the University of Oregon. Tonight, I'd like to tell you about three of my colleagues, Ava Hoffman, Phil Mayo, and Dana Rogney, who were all struck by cars recently by campus on separate occasions. Each in turn faced the difficult decision of going back to work immediately after their accidents or facing a loss of income, which they needed to pay rent and buy groceries. No one should ever have to make this choice. We love our families and we love our work. We don't love going to work sick or injured, and it pains us when we are not able to stay home to care for our own children when they are sick or injured. I stood in solidarity with my fellow graduate students and colleagues when we went on strike for 8 days last December. Leaving my students during finals week was one of the hardest choices I've had to make as a teacher. But my students knew I was standing up for them too. The UO campus was effectively shut down over paid leave. No one wanted for this to happen. But teaching while on pain medication and crutching across campus in the days directly following injuries, surgeries, or childbirth is something no one should have to face, and yet we do. 2/3 of grad employees reported teaching while sick. If a statewide sick days bill is passed for large employees only, Ava, Phil, and Dana won't have to go through that again. But what about employees at our neighboring small businesses who may be struck by cars or fall ill in the coming years? Small businesses need to help their employees in their time of greatest need as well. Eugene's six-day law doesn't apply to UO, but it does apply to all businesses in our town. Eugene is filled with small shops and restaurants my family enjoys. Thanks to our city leadership, I know we won't be served by sick employees when we visit these businesses. As a researcher, I ask you to look at the data about the ways paid sick time helps both employers and employees. Thank you.
Thank you, Danielle.
So, Anastasia Hernandez, last call. Amelis
Miles.
Miles.
Ashayo.
Ashayo. Steve Demarest. Austin Boldnag.
Bolnagy.
Gee. Come on up.
Steve Demarest. Here.
And do we have Miles? Anyone named Miles? Okay.
At least we think it says Miles. Go ahead and introduce yourself, record, please.
My name is Anastasia Hernandez Vasquez, and thank you, Chair Demaro and Chair Holvey and committee members. I'm here tonight to share my experience as a full-time worker who struggles to provide for my family. Thank you for that opportunity. Neither my husband and I received sick leave. from our employers. This puts us in a vulnerable position to often be forced to make decisions on who's going to take care of our children or whether we need to go to work sick or have one of our children stay at home to take care of another. Staying home to recover from illness means a day that we lose part of our substantial support for our family. At the end of the month, it comes to cutting utilities, groceries, gas, and things for our growing children like pants and other necessary items. I've been threatened with my job loss a number of times, and I've attempted to call in sick. I've been told if I wasn't going to bother to come in today, don't show up tomorrow. On one of these occasions, my employer insisted that I show up for work, even though he had witnessed me vomit in a garbage can next to my desk and kept me at work. This is demoralizing, and it treats people with disrespect. My fellow employees have also been put in this demoralizing situation. The most heartbreaking of all is I have a special needs child who was diagnosed with tactile dysfunction. He was diagnosed and asked to go to therapy. During therapy, he improved, but as my employer doesn't pay sick days and has put my job on the line, I've had to pull him out and seen him regress into his tactile dysfunction. Thank you very much for this opportunity to share my testimony, and please pass SB 454 and HB 2005. Thank you.
Thank you.
Chair Dembro, Chair Holvey, members of the Joint Committee. My name is Stephen Demrest. I am a state employee. I've worked for the Employment Department for over 30 years. For most of that time, I dealt with unemployment insurance claims at some level. I am very familiar with the employment practices in the state of Oregon and very familiar with why people become unemployed and lose their jobs in this state. Now, you've heard today that there are some employers who accommodate employees when they're sick. And I'm here to tell you there are many employers that do not. They not only do not provide paid sick leave, they don't provide, they don't authorize unpaid leave, or if they do, it's on a very limited basis. As a result, every week in Oregon, if not every day, there are workers who lose their jobs because of occasional or infrequent illnesses. The incentive, that, therefore, to go to work ill, even when it's not in the best interest of one's health or not in the best interest of the community health, is real and it's powerful. Now, as a state employee, I have paid sick leave. And recently, I attended a meeting in Salem where paid sick leave is not required of employers. It was a meeting attended by other state employees and some union staff. We brought in lunch. It was from a large chain restaurant. I checked later. They do not provide sick leave to their employees. Everyone at the meeting who partook of that lunch got sick with what seemed to be the flu. Those who didn't did not. The point is that when employers of any size, small, medium, or large, do not provide sick leave, that choice results in costs not to everyone, including other employers, and employers that do provide sick leave end up being a backstop for that because eventually their employees will stay home and not spread the disease to others. I implore the committee. Thank you.
Thank you.
Chairman, member of the committees, for the record, my name is Austin Folnigy. I'm a resident of Klamath County, and I'm also an elected board member of Klamath Community College. I ask you as an Oregonian to support paid sick leave for the whole state, simply because it's the right thing to do. I mean, you've heard testimony from Oregonians from all walks of life and from all parts of the state. And even from the opposition, you hear the universal belief that workers need to get well when they are sick. And with that, let us do the right thing for Oregonians. We have Republicans and Democrats up here on the committee, and this isn't a Republican or a Democratic issue. It's something that we can all support as Oregonians. And, you know, the main reason, if I can give you any, is the young boy that spoke earlier. We're here in support of that future that protects the health and welfare of generations to come and their families. And it's in that spirit that actually Klamath Community College, even though our classified staff did not receive paid sick leave or bereavement leave, we went ahead and extended that to our classified staff representatives, both paid sick leave and bereavement leave. And again, it's because we have this universal belief that if you are sick, go home, get better. And Oregonians, they're going to earn this. It's not going to be entitled to them. It's not going to be given to them. They are going to work, and they're going to earn this. And it's with that belief I ask you to pass this bill. Oregonians need a sick day to get well. Families deserve a sick day to get well. And future generations will, too. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, all three of you.
So up next, Anna Stiefvater. Oh, sorry about the name pronunciation. Enrique Okja. And
Giselle
Navarro.
Narvaez. Sorry.
And Chris Wigg. That will bring you up next, Chris.
Chair Stenbrough and Holby and members of the committee. My name is Anna Stiefvater. I'm a public health nurse here tonight testifying on behalf of the Oregon Nurses Association and the Oregon Public Health Association in support of Senate Bill 454 and House Bill 2005. I just want to take a moment to point out what you already know. All of us get sick, no matter if we work full-time, part-time, seasonally. No matter what type of work we have, all of us get sick. What you've heard tonight is that many of us do not have access to earned paid sick time. So this certainly ensures that workers are going to work with when they are ill. When workers go to work sick, not only do they delay their own recovery, they're also putting their coworkers, who likely don't have paid sick time, at risk, and members of the public at risk, which have been pointed out. Similarly, many parents are making the tough choice to send their children to school or daycare sick because they're not able to stay home and care for them. I also wanted to point out that paid sick time allows people to go in for the preventative and primary care appointments to keep them healthy. It allows parents to take their kids in for their well child checks and their immunizations. As you know, we've spent a lot of time in Oregon transforming healthcare so that people have access to this kind of primary care. But an important piece of this is having this kind of access where they can take time off from their jobs to attend these appointments. And finally, as a public health nurse, I've spent my career working with low-income, at-risk moms and children. We talk about the importance of healthy habits. We work on making changes in behavior. But unfortunately, if we don't have policies in place like paid sick days, many of the families I work with are not given a fair chance at good health. So I really encourage you to support working Oregonians and their families by supporting these bills. Thank you.
Thank you. Good evening. My name is Giselle Narvaez. I'm here with Juventud Faceta. My dad recently started working in construction. There was a time when he got a cold from working in the rain, but he had to keep working. He couldn't stay home because we barely had enough money to pay bills. He did what he had to do, which was to keep working even though he was sick. It rained again, and my dad got even more sick, but this time he had no option and he had to stay home. Afterwards, we were in a rush looking for money to pay the bills. The laws only passed in Eugene and Portland. My question is, if we have it in Eugene and Portland, why not the whole state? We deserve a break for working hard hours. If we pass this for the whole state, more people will benefit. There will be less stress in workers, the job will be done more, and everyone will be able to take care of their families. That's why I say yes to paid sick leave.
My name is Enrique Vega. I'm a senior at Chucho High School and a member of Juventud Faceta. Today I'm honored to speak about paid sick days. Why is paid sick days important, you may ask? Well, I believe it's an important law that all students of state of Oregon should have. I have experience and see families that struggle when someone in their family gets sick. Mine will probably sound simple, but this has affected me in a way. When my sister got sick, I had to miss 2 days of school. My parents can't afford getting a day off because that would mean less money. And that can cause a big problem later on. For example, paying bills that of course are not cheap. Paying half of the bill that we pay more than the next bill. That's a big problem right there, because some families can't recover that money they lost because whether they were sick or the child was sick. And of course, can't make up for those days they miss work. In my situation, I fell behind in a few of my classes for those two simple days of I miss school, just to take care of my sister that, of course, I always thank family first. Getting your grades up nowadays, it doesn't just require attending school. It requires more than that. It requires hard work and dedication to get your grades up and to get your grades up if you really want. And missing school, of course, it's not one of them. Well, I just want to thank you, first of all, for making this luck come true in Eugene and Portland. But I think these other families from around the state of Oregon should have it too. I've seen people work for more than 10 to 15 years and always working hard to provide a better life to their families. I would like you all to take this in mind, because if these families work very hard and been working for many years, I think and believe they deserve to have basic days too. Thank you.
Thank you. And thank you, all three of you.
Up next, Chris Wigg. Anna
Petrovard
or something like that. And Justinina Javel. Who knows?
I'm sure it's that.
Yeah, I have no idea.
We should put a requirement that people print their names.
Anthony
something?
Yeah, it could be an Anthony. Anyway.
Please print legends.
How about Mary King? I can read that one. Go ahead and introduce yourself and start, please. Anyone.
Hello, chairs and members of the committee. My name is Chris Wigg. I serve as the chair of the Democratic Party in Lane County. And most importantly, I am a constituent of Representative Holvey. And I'm here tonight because our party...
Won't necessarily help. Go
ahead. It's important to me. No, our party passed a resolution supporting both Senate bills 454 and House Bill 2005. And our party was also... We worked really hard to help pass the sick time ordinance in Eugene. You guys have heard some really powerful testimony. You've heard compelling evidence and valuable information about why paid sick time is the way to go. And I don't have anything to add on that count. I affirm everything that my colleagues from all walks of life have said up here tonight. What I would like to talk about is the process and how it happened in Eugene, and how maybe we cannot make some of the mistakes that we made there. One of the important things that I learned from this debate that I should have known before is that the idea under the debate is not the same as the intention of the debaters. Of course, sick time is going to be controversial. Everything in Eugene is controversial. But it doesn't have to be divisive the way that people made it divisive in Eugene. And I think that one of the main ways that we can do that is by validating the concerns of everyone involved. Proponents of sick time, we should validate the concerns of business owners. They're real and they're important. I think that a lot of opponents of sick time can validate where the people who are supporting it are coming from in terms of having to stay home to care for sick children, how that is financially unfeasible for many Oregonians. And I think that ultimately, once we can all work together, come up with a policy that works for everybody, and it's my hope that we will have paid sick time in Oregon very, very soon. Thank you for your time, and thank you for your attention on this matter.
Perfect. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Chairs Denborough and Holvey, and the committee members, for allowing me to speak on behalf of SB 454 and House Bill 2005. My name is Anna Petrov. I am a registered dietitian. I work with community people, and a lot of my clients are people who do not have paid sick time. Before I became a dietitian, I was a single mom, and I worked at many low-wage jobs trying to care for my child and to get my education. There were times when not having sick time negatively affected my family. On one occasion when my daughter needed surgery, I asked for time off to care for her. I was told that I could not have the time off. As a result, I quit that job. that was difficult for me to do as a single mom. And a situation like that can be very scary. It makes you feel very insecure. Now, as a registered dietitian, as I said, a lot of my clients are working people who do not have paid sick days. They work sick, risk damaging their health further, and they risk the health of others. At times, my clients have wound up in the emergency room, which is the most expensive form of health care, because they push themselves to work when they should have been at home. The lack of paid sick days leaves them as vulnerable as I was years ago, and I do remember that feeling. I respectfully ask you to pass Senate Bill 454 and House Bill 2005 so that all working Oregonians have the opportunity to care for themselves and their families. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. Mary, welcome.
Thank you, Chair Dembrough, Chair Holvey, members of the committee. I really appreciate the opportunity you're giving me here at 8:30 tonight. People have no idea how hard our state legislators work. I can see that. You've heard a lot today already about the human cost of the lack of access.
You could identify yourself.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm Mary King. I'm a labor economist. I'm a professor emerita at Portland State University.
That's right.
Excuse me. What you haven't heard really is how extremely unusual the U.S. is in lacking access to paid sick care for everyone. We're the only affluent country in the world that doesn't have automatic paid sick days for all workers. And what you haven't heard yet really is the economic case, and that's what I'd like to make for you today because it's strong. You have in your written packet a six-page memo that I put together with the footnotes and all this kind of thing, and it's signed by I think 13 economists as well as myself, academics at Reed, Lewis and Clark, University of Oregon, University of Washington, Evergreen, PSU, and PCC. And economics is known as the dismal science, but this paid sick days is the unusual case where you can do good, you can do well by doing good. It's really, there is a strong economic case for paid sick days. Business lobbyists tend to stress potential business losses and therefore a specter of reduced unemployment, but it's very likely that their cost estimates will pan out to be larger than what comes true. It's the pattern that we see generally with new benefits being proposed, and it makes sense. People are concerned. They're thinking about, they have to be worried about what this might bring. But if you look back to see what people anticipated, for instance, for family and medical leave and other times we've extended benefits, the estimates have been much beyond what proved to be the case. And this has been shown in the evidence for paid sick days that's passed in Connecticut and other cities. And one reason is people imagine you'll take every day. I can tell you, though, that there's reduced turnover, higher productivity, lower health care costs, lower community costs, and a range of other costs. So I very much urge you to pass this legislation.
Thank you, Dr. King, and thank you for submitting that testimony as well. Thank you, all three.
And I have three more panelists, Tanya, Neil, Maddie, Mimi, Ellison, and Tom McGinnis. And Ralph Groner, if you're around.
And by the way, somebody left a pair of glasses here. They're prescription glasses, so when it comes time for you to read the check, here are your glasses.
My name is David Neal, for the record. I'm speaking on behalf of Tanya Neal, my mother. She's a recent kidney transplant recipient and was therefore forced to go home. And I don't tell my mother no. So thank you very much, chairpersons and committee persons, for doing this so late. She wanted me to make sure to say that because oftentimes people don't get a chance to come during the day, so thank you. I'll make this really short. She actually has written testimony. Basically, 10 years ago, 2004, my mother was diagnosed with stage 4 renal failure. She was on the transplant list for 10 years. In 2014, she got her transplant, so that's awesome. She's doing very well. But she had two major points that she wanted me to make. One was that if my father did not work for Hewlett-Packard, if he didn't have vacation pay and paid sick time as well, they would have been financially destitute a long time ago. They're one of the few people that really actually were able to take care of a chronic medical condition and come out of it okay, pay their taxes, pay their mortgage, be all right. The other point she wanted me to make was just what she's seen since the transplant, where she goes out. She has a suppressed immune system, and it is the number of people she sees that are working, and they're sick, and she cannot be anywhere near them is just astronomical. And it's a big fear for her because it could kill her at this point. So she's very much for paid sick days. She wants to see both these bills pass, and that's what she wanted me to say. Thank you.
Hello, members of council. I'm Maddie Mimi Ellison, a white middle-class trans woman, activist, and part-time litter pickup worker currently. I was raised by Quaker teachers with union jobs. My father, who was a high school chemistry teacher, had a heart transplant. It shouldn't be a privilege for children to have parents who can get sick and keep their jobs. Rather than asking what this legislation would do to the bottom lines of businesses, I think we should remember to ask, can the community afford businesses that don't offer their workers paid sick leave? I can think of no good reason why the state of Oregon should deem it appropriate for businesses to compete by constraining workers' decisions to protect their health, the health of their families, their coworkers, and the community. The pressure against workers taking sick time is real. Working while sick is dangerous. One of my managers, while working at the Oregon Zoo in the past, pointed me to a bottle of ibuprofen and said, "Anything to keep you on your feet." Scary to hear, where we serve thousands daily. If you want to employ people in Oregon, you ought to treat them well if they get sick. Replacing them with a well coworker should not be too much of a challenge for your business model if your business model is good for Oregon. If your business model requires you to not support sick employees, your business model is a public health hazard and shouldn't be supported by the state of Oregon. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. And your patience, Tom McGinnis, last word.
Thank you very much for taking the time to listen to me, and thanks for staying so late. I had some testimony, but I've sat and listened all evening long, and I'm a business owner, or was, until my business got too expensive to run. I understand the economist who came before me who said, well, you know, in a macro sense, this isn't really a bad idea. But when you pass this, you are going to put some people out of business. Marginal businesses will go under. Healthy businesses will become marginal. But that doesn't alter what these two gentlemen have said. So let me just suggest, how many times has the federal government passed legislation that has cost the state money and not provided any money for it? How do you feel about that? That's what you're doing tonight. You're taking my money, and you're allocating it to someone else. I don't have a problem with what they want, but let me suggest there's a better way to do this. You have an unemployment office. You're offering a public benefit. Why not offer it with public money? Why would you take my money and do it? I had to sell my business. When I bought my business in 1997, I had 74 employees. I covered my expenses. I cash flowed $750,000, which I used to replace worn assets, upgrade the store, replace old machines, repay commercial loans, and last but not least, support my family. As you know, the owner is not necessarily the highest paid. They're just the last paid. In the time since then, the minimum wage has doubled. The wage burden, that is the taxes on the minimum wage, could quadrupled. Most of my 38 taxes that my company paid at all levels, city, county, state, TriMet, school, water district, utilities, governing boards, 38 taxes all went up. You act like, excuse me, it appears you don't consider all the other levels. And so my suggestion is, take this, and if you want to offer a public benefit, go through the unemployment office and offer that public benefit and pay for it with taxes, and I will gladly pay those taxes.
Thank you very much, Tom. Thank you, all three of you. Colleagues, thank you for your patience. Let the record show that the entire Senate committee has remained for all this time.
But your colleague, Senator Gelser, said the same thing. You should have put a challenge out to us and we would have all stayed.
I pointed out Senate
House. But I'm sure that the House will make up for it by reading every piece of written testimony that comes in.
Can you submit afterwards?
Yes.
Very different. What I testified was very different from what I wrote after.
Yeah, you had
our public testimony is staying open till the 20th, Friday.
Until Friday at 5
p.m.
Okay.
So you can send things directly to us by email. With that, I don't think there was anybody else signed up to testify. Come on up. I haven't closed the hearing. I didn't see your name, evidently.
My name is Carl Harbaugh. I own a small business here in Salem called Southtown Glass. I've got somewhere under 50 employees, and we're struggling to keep our doors open, and this concerns me, just like everybody else has said. I just think that I pay my employees, several of my employees are salaried. They come in, and they know that they're going to be taken care of, and they don't work specific hours. And they work when sometimes they stay home and work. There's nothing in this that I don't know, it's going to be disruptive for my business. Obviously, I have to pay my employees, and it's really hard for me to get employees. So I take care of my employees. I'm a union shop, too, and I disagree with this. I think it takes away the competitive market out there. I think it gives the unions a better, the lower, lesser paid people. I was a non-union shop at one time, and I just think it takes away competition. I just think that it's a mistake, and I think you need to. I like the idea of having sick pay, but this thing looks like it's a mess. I mean, I'd hate to be you guys to make a decision and pass this thing the way it is. It's a mess. And thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Harbaugh.
Thank you. Was there anybody else that wanted to testify while we're going up, going once, twice, three times? With that, I'll close the public hearing on House Bill 2005 and adjourn the House Committee on Business and Labor.
Okay, and
adjourn the House Committee on Business and Labor.